day.
Yes, indeed. Phone number 866-901-ADAM, 866-901-ADAM. Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Danny Bonaducci.
Good morning, Adam Carolla. Good morning there, Brian.
Hello.
Brian, you out boozing last night?
Not last night.
I smell booze in here.
The night before. Might still be from Friday and Saturday night. I'm pretty drunk both nights.
Did a fair amount of drinking both nights?
Indeed.
Yeah. Not wearing that tag stuff today. It could be that.
No. It was before you hit the studio.
Huh.
Uh-huh. So unless you figured out a way to throw your essence, which happened to me once in high school, as everyone knows, was hit in the ear with Ray's essence. Unless you can throw your essence ahead of you, it's not that. It's someone's... I have this... Actually, maybe it's all the years of working with Dr. Drew, but...
She tasted like champagne.
Smells like someone's been boozing. Well, anyway, I don't want to point a finger. Well, let's move on. We have a bigger fish to fry.
So you know, though, if it came to alcohol and being able to figure out a way to throw my essence, I'd figure it out.
Yes.
I am MacGyver of that crap.
Of covering your tracks.
Yeah, but... Just off the subject for one second.
Mm-hmm.
When Gretchen filed for divorce, I thought this company was going to get very, very, very nervous about what might happen to me.
Like you go into some sort of spiral of booze and drugs.
Yeah. And I know that Jack Silver and Bob Moore put their gig on the line for me. Said no, he's trustworthy. I know you said you can't be crazy and show up every morning, but I still thought they'd say, "What if something happens to him?" So I have actually taken measures to prove it's impossible for me to be drinking.
How's that? How do you do that?
It's kind of a secret, but it involves someone at this station making sure of something. Well, I'll just tell you if you want.
Okay.
Do I want? Is it cool with you?
Yeah, it's fine with me.
See this?
Mm-hmm.
That's that anabuse pill so you can't drink?
Right.
Teresa puts it in my mouth every single morning and watches me take it.
It says Pez on it.
No, it doesn't. You know what? Because I've done that before. I switched to an aspirin.
Uh-huh.
So she Googled it.
Really?
Every single morning. Look, right here.
But it comes out of Popeye's head, Danny. I'm not a far...
Circle, this is yum.
Yes.
I do that.
Now, how do you check that he's taking? Because I was watching The Sopranos last night.
Yes.
And
I told her all my tricks.
DJ Junior, was... Yeah.
Yeah,
because I need people to know for a fact, so I do this. I know I'm a drinker. I'd show you. I pop it in my mouth.
I watch him, and I make sure it goes down.
Mm-hmm. And then do the whole 10-year-old thing.
Now, what if you go...
That's been a couple weeks
by the
now,
way, it's
by
been
way.
Months since I've taken... I don't need this. I wasn't going to spiral. I was going to cry.
Couldn't you, theoretically, not that Danny's doing this, but if you do that, you could make a trip to the bathroom...
Throw it up.
10 minutes later and bring it back up. Maybe not 10 minutes, 5 minutes.
I don't know. It's supposed to be real bad.
Supposed to. You mean that wouldn't sit well with your stomach?
It has a very long half-life.
Yeah,
so,
she checked it.
I looked it up. So basically, it has something like a 60-hour half-life, and if you drink any alcohol, you'll be violently ill.
You go to the hospital.
Right. But I wonder if you put it in and you brought it up, how long before it's not a pill anymore? Is it a matter of seconds or is it a matter of minutes?
On that, I kind
of
know things. I don't know it about this, but I made a big drama thing that I was going to kill myself. And I ran to the bathroom, puked it all up, and I was fine. So I guess you could do that, but I don't think I would try it with this because either way, the only time I even came close, I drank 4 days after taking one of these. And they say they only have a 60-day shelf life.
Uh-huh.
My eyes turned bright red. It was like an allergic reaction, not like it
really?
Was... Like, if you drank that day or the next day, you'd get violently ill. After 4 days, it was like a terrible allergic reaction with red eyes and a swollen face. And that's what made me nervous. Because I thought, well, I'm going to cry every night for a month. It turned out to be 2 nights. I get better fast. I didn't know that.
Was Anabuse made originally to be something else? It seems like one of these things they stumbled onto.
Like Wellbutrin?
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of medicines that they use for depression. It turns out to be good to quit smoking whatever it
exactly.
is.
Exactly. No,
stuff that makes your hair grow?
Yes. Propecia.
Yeah.
It was used for prostate, whatever.
But then you get an erection for 4 hours and have to go to the doctor.
Yes, but then you create a beautiful elixir that makes your hair grow.
So anyway, I didn't know that. That's kind of smart, huh? So if I came in
Bill's
all red-faced...
Bill's wearing some right now. Bill, pat your head down. Your hair-growing elixir. So, yes.
Crying all night, face all puffy, but the boss is going whispering in the background, "Do you think he's drinking?" I've got an Emmy Award-winning news reporter here saying, "No, I know for a fact."
Daytime. Or local. Whatever
don't
it is.
Care. Daytime. She's my
just
hero.
Went down my head. It's not a real Emmy.
Daytime. But I have to say, I was very flattered because just after this went down, I get a call from Danny, and he said... You know, a lot of people have been asking if there's anything they can do, and there's not really anything anyone can do, but I have a favor to ask you, and can you keep it private, and can you make sure I take these pills every other day?
Uh-huh.
And I kept my mouth shut.
Yeah. Well, speaking of keeping it private, actually, I don't. Everything's reminding me of The Sopranos last night. But there is that syndrome where people tell you to keep it quiet, and then they tell people about it. Never bothered me that much, but then again, people don't tell me that much and tell me to keep it private, and I don't talk about almost anything to anybody. So I only talk about things. I never talk about people. It's an interesting thing. I don't talk about myself that much unless it pertains to a thing. I'll talk about what I'm going to do to a house,
right?
But I don't talk about how I'm feeling. It's just what I'm going to do to a house, what I want to get. There's plenty of stuff that involves me. It all involves me, but it involves me and a car or me and a house or me and a fill in the blank. And then there are people that talk about other people. And then there are people that talk about ideas. I rarely talk about other people. It's not because I'm a good guy. It's just maybe I'm a supreme or a pure narcissist. You know, maybe it's just I'm just not that interested in what other people are doing, gossip or not. It doesn't matter to me that someone's having an affair or someone has an eating disorder or maybe gay. It's not me who's having the affair or who may be gay or who has an eating disorder.
All three of those pertain to me. That better be a coincidence.
All I'm saying is it's weird. I don't talk about other people and don't gossip too much about other people, not because I'm such a humanitarian, but maybe I'm such a narcissist. Maybe lazy meets narcissist. Like, really, how much wind do I really have in my sail for other people's boats?
But does your wife ever want to talk to you about other people? Does she want to engage you about the couple you just went out to dinner with and what they're like? And
you know what's weird is she has, you know, the thing that's interesting about me, or possibly, I guess you can decide, I am very interested in the human condition. So I will thus talk about people and what motivates them and how they're possibly misunderstood, or when I sit around and watch The View with my wife, as somehow she suckered me into every Sunday morning. We sit with our kids on our bed and I try to control them and we watch The View. I try to break down everyone's personality, but it's not really in a gossipy kind of way. It's more like an FBI profiler breaking down a serial killer. You know, when I'm delving into Rosie or Joy Behar, I'm more a profiler who's trying to figure out who kidnapped my wife. That's really what I'm doing. I know she's going to be heavy set. She's going to be a lesbian. She's going to be a woman. She's going to be on a daytime talk show. What have you done with my wife? I want her back. You kidnapped she didn't have a lot of her brain to give away, and you took that one.
You feel the ladies from The View have abducted your wife's brain?
Well, just in a lot of, you know, Oprah says, you know, Rosie says, you know what I mean? Like, I pick one of the kids up. Rosie says you're not supposed to use them. You're not supposed to hold them in that Heisman pose. No, you hold them with two hands. A lot of Rosie said, this is what it's a cult that they have.
Yeah.
And women get indoctrinated into the cult because they're not as busy as their husbands are, even though they claim to. And you guys do the math. You know that, mothering, it's a full-time job, keeping the household up, full-time job. I work just as many hours. Really? How do you watch 1,700 hours worth of daytime TV? I can't seem to weave that into my job.
You can have it on in the background if you're a stay-at-home mom.
Background. Because the sound of the vacuum should be drowning out whatever's going on The View.
Background,
huh?
Background.
I found a melted bonbon in my bed, and you're reciting me chapter and verse what Rosie said a week ago on The View. Maybe you're not working as hard as you could be. I want that TV off, by the way. I want you to be just as miserable as everyone else is in their work environment. If you're going to have a job, you're going to claim that running a house or being a mother or whatever is a full... Here's what I want. No TV, and I want some guy named Herb who's balding, who keeps walking into the nursery or into the bedroom looking pissed off, going, I don't know, people. I just don't know. And then walking out again. That's what I want. A little pressure. I want one of those things, too, where they hang over your head. Listen, we're having a meeting of the whole department here. The whole department. Nannies, gardeners, pool men, maids, and moms. We're all meeting. What time? Noon. And I'm not saying it's going to be good or bad, but there will be no pizza served. Okay, people. And there's walk right. Just that thing you have hanging around. You know that thing at work? And then when you're going to the bathroom, I want someone else to walk in.
I am that thing at work.
And you don't know who they are.
And they're keeping careful track of what time you go.
They come in, they got a sack on their head so you don't know who they are, but they run the water and they shuffle around and they make some noise.
Bill, you ever have a sack on your head? Just checking.
Yeah, that ain't no birthmark on his forehead, by the way. That's just it's called a coaster, not a forehead. All right, where were we?
I don't know, being
What's
funny?
On today's
yeah,
show?
Yeah, today's show, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Yeah!
In studio. Also, William Shatner in studio.
Very excited about that.
I know.
You know what I should have brought?
Jamie Kennedy as well, too, yes.
You know those boards I broke on Breaking Bonaducci?
Yeah.
That's how I met William Shatner.
Really?
I was testing for green belt in 1973, and he was testing for, like, red belt, and he was busting the bejesus out of those boards.
In 1973, where?
72 or 3. Chuck Norris Studio in Van Nuys on Ventura Boulevard. Probably the most famous fighting school of the year.
Wow.
That era.
Wait a minute. Ventura and where? Near Van Nuys Boulevard,
near Kessler.
I do remember that
place. Bright blue building with all the trophies in the window.
Yeah, I know a lot of trophies given out in the martial arts. You pass martial arts places you've never heard of and neighborhoods you've never heard of. There's 1,000 trophies.
You know what they usually
are, to
be frank with you?
Participation?
They're ranked, but they're usually kids. There's so many kids doing it, and they're so hard to judge who wins and who loses because they're not
up until
a certain rank. That first place, somebody from your school is always going to win a trophy. If you have 100 kids plus 100 adults, and you're at one of those tournament fighting schools.
You come back with 8 trophies?
Minimum.
And then you fill the windows with it.
I had at one point, personally, I had over 180 trophies.
Really?
Yeah.
Damn.
Yeah.
They sank that boat you were living on.
The trophies. The trophies are in Davy Jones' locker, everybody. Teresa.
Yeah.
I hear you had a blind date over the weekend.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What night? Let me gather myself.
Friday or Saturday?
How is it possible for me to kill a story before you tell it? Just the tone of your voice lets me know how this is going to go.
Friday night, Teresa had a blind date. Yeah. We need to take a break.
I'll
but a blind
gather myself
date
over
with
the break.
Whom?
With a guy, I won't name names
because he has a really small penis and I think he's gay.
I know, he's a very nice guy, not for me. But there were some red flags before I even went out on the date.
All right, well, I want to hear what those are because guys, whether it's a job interview or whether it's a date, there are things you can do to sort of sink your ship before it even sails. I mean, there are really a couple of things you can say to women that'll screw you up before you even get out of the car and head to the restaurant.
You can also show up in this shirt.
That's right.
That's true.
Dazzled pirate shirt. We'll take a quick break. We'll be back with a recap of Teresa's date next on the Adam Carolla Show.
Show where a decision has been made and two people have been sentenced to the notorious Alcatraz Island. They'll compete for their freedom and $2,500. Go to AdamCarolla.com now to check out the contestants and cast your vote for who you think will make it through the night. Then check back Friday morning for all the video coverage of their overnight competition on AdamCarolla.com. Thanks to The Condemned, in theaters this Friday, starring Steve Austin. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
But I'm going to turn it over to talk about Teresa Strasser, who had a date on
Friday
night. Yeah, I was just thinking one of my greatest laments is not dating. You know, because I used to go out on dates and I would literally pick the chick up in a work truck with a lumber rack and a bed box and a bench seat made of vinyl, and it'd be like, hey, should we go to your crappy apartment or my really crappy apartment? And that is, if I can get my Bull Dyke roommate out of here for 20 minutes, maybe you and I could get to second base on the ratty sofa that I use that has a sheet pulled over it, or we could watch a little 12-inch black and white TV, however you want to do it, my dear. More champagne. Now I could pull up in a Ferrari.
Take her back to your mansion.
That's right.
You know what?
I just had a sauna installed in my hot tub. You want to do them both at the same time?
That's the upside.
What's that thing crying?
I adopted an orphan.
That's the upside of all this.
Denmark. Yes.
That is, I get to date if I want now. And I've never dated. I've never been on like a since we broke up. I've been out with a girl and had dinner, but I've known her for a really long time. But I've never had a date since I was 16. I'd go out somewhere to a club or something, meet a girl I really like, she'd come home with me and not leave for 3 years.
Well, Adam touched on something that went...
Really? I was driving 2 days ago on the freeway, and I thought, if I went on a date, I wonder if I would take the Ferrari or the Aston Martin.
What'd you come up with?
I came up with the Aston Martin.
No, wrong.
I would go with the Aston Martin,
You know
too.
Why? Because if the girl you're in recognizes the Aston Martin as better than the Ferrari, or as in the same class as a Ferrari, she knows what's what.
No, that's true.
A Ferrari is a Ferrari.
Now,
it doesn't matter. You get that 308 for, or 328 for 35 G's, and she'll think it's a $300,000 car. You want that girl.
This wasn't, this is based on the Ferrari's practically a race car, and it would be very hard to drive, much less receive oral in. Yes.
It can
be done. It can be done in a Viper, and that's got that gear in the middle, that whole thing.
Oh, my God.
It can be done in a Humvee, buddy.
Date an ostrich.
Well, let me briefly touch on that. You mentioned the car that you would pick a girl up in, which means you would pick her up.
What's going on? Well, you guys started it with this whole equality crap.
I will go back to the 1950s if someone will just pick me up, really.
What happened?
I'll pick you up. I will come get you, take you out to dinner, and buy you a nice dinner, tip well, drive you home, kiss you on the cheek at the door, and give you a flower.
That is a date.
That's a date.
That is a date. I would like that.
Wait, did you say that as a date? Is it okay?
I would say that qualifies as a date.
Wait, now I've asked a question. Would you? Is that
so
a date?
So awkward.
Well, please, there's no way whatever dating unless Angie gets drunk.
Here's what happened. So I do this TV show, the TV Water Cooler, and we had a guest host, and the guy said, my friend is really interested in you. Are you single? He'd like to go out with you. And the guy was really nice, so I figured his friend must also be nice.
Mm-hmm.
And based on that, what do I have to lose? It's hard for me to meet people. I'm in bed at 8.
What's the backstory on this guy?
All I knew was he's a producer at another network in Deep Cable. And that's all I knew about him. And he's a friend of this really nice guy who's a TV host. Mm-hmm. And so I thought, what do I have to lose? And we talked on the phone. And by the time I hung up the phone, I already knew it was bad.
Well, now, what were the tip-offs?
Well, the main thing, was he said...
I'm gay.
He said... well, what neighborhood do you live in? I said, I live in Lower Silver Lake. Some call it Koreatown.
Mm-hmm.
And
especially all the Koreans don't live there.
And he went heavy sigh.
Because they call it Silver Lake.
He did a sigh. He went, ugh. Then he said, I live in Santa Monica, so that's about an hour and a half for me. And there was an awkward pause. I said, well, I could meet you somewhere. Mm-hmm. He's like, yeah, that'd be better. And I thought, if he can't pick me up on the first date, this doesn't bode well.
Yeah.
For our future.
Well, you know what we've done? We've few different levels here. One is we've created a society of narcissists. Everybody, even when it comes to doing things for them, are getting lazy. People don't realize that you have to give some to get some.
Yes.
You're going on a date. You want to get, you wash your car, you get your hair cut, you clean yourself up, you try not to pass any wind for a couple hours, and you drive an extra 45 minutes.
That's all I want.
Because it could pay off for you down the road.
We all know I'm ripe for the picking.
That's right.
So
low-hanging fruit, everybody.
And I don't care what kind of car.
Hold on. That's the name of Bill's junk.
I wouldn't have cared, honestly, Adam, if his car had to be shut with a bungee cord. If it was crappy, I don't care about that.
Right.
But the effort of picking a girl up.
Effort's always the
women,
thing, man.
That's why I always say, that's why women love when a guy says, I'm taking you on a picnic. Effort. Where they go, if you tell a woman, I'm taking you on a picnic, they will be excited. If you tell them, yeah, I went to that place you do, you give them $40, place packs of bags for the Hollywood Bowl, and they drop this off at my house, they will be less excited. If you said, I went to Trader Joe's, I picked out some of the wine and cheeses that were my favorite, I know you're going to love them, and I spent the afternoon putting this together, and then I picked you some wildflowers, they'll go out of their mind.
Yep.
They want effort.
Well, he had no plan also. He said, well, what do you want to do?
Oh, that one never.
This guy sucks.
So then I said,
dude, I'm the best 3 months a girl ever had, and then you get to meet me.
Well, I said, my friend Doug Benson is performing at the Improv. He was on our show Friday.
Let me tell you his original plan, because I heard it. He said, here's how it went. Ring, ring.
Hello.
Teresa, you pick up.
Okay.
You idiot.
I wanted them.
Hello?
Yeah. Hey, where are you living at?
I live in Koreatown.
Wow. That is geographically undesirable. Tell you what, there's a piece of plywood by the 10 freeway that's right at the halfway point between our two places out by Robertson. There's a hole in it.
Yeah.
I'll be standing there with my phallus poking through it somewhere, drinking a Zima somewhere between, let's call it 7:15 to 7:20. If you could just motor in, roll your window down, and perform oral, that'd be awesome.
I'll meet you there.
Yeah, and I'm going to need gas money.
No problem. $5-6
Wow, $5-6 yeah. If it was 1972. Come on, sweetie. I drive a Range Rover.
20 or 25.
All right. See you there. Don't be late.
God.
That was the feeling. And then, okay, now mind you, he asked for my number and he asked me out. That's why these are confusing times.
Yes, they are.
And then, so I figured we'll meet and he has no plan. So I thought, well, we'll go to the Improv. Doug Benson and Sarah Silverman were performing. They're very funny.
Mm-hmm.
And that was actually
a
highlight.
Comedy Club's a great date.
Yeah, that was the highlight because Sarah and Doug were great.
How many pot biscuits did those two put down before they hit the stage?
Sarah did not seem high. And by the way, she was phenomenal. And she slung heat. Doug, oddly enough, could be very high and very funny.
I've never
seen anything like it. He was so high.
Normally you have to be very high, but all right.
Yeah, it was 420 and all that.
Can I make this observation, too, fellas, and you guys can agree or disagree. We have decided, or women have made it abundantly clear that they like the sort of aloof, loner, kind of the take it or leave it guy, which is fine after the hook is set.
Yes.
That guy needs to appear on the third date, not at the beginning of the first date. We love that. Women are so attracted to that guy who's not trying very hard, but that's so you can get that McDreamy hair. It's like women love the hairdo that you spent an hour on, except for it looked like you just hopped out of bed. That's that look.
Special
you love.
Look.
So the idea is to be sort of aloof and have a certain mystery about you, but we've taken it to the next step, which is you drive out to our house, pick us up, and I don't really care what we're doing as long as I'm home for SportsCenter. There's a difference between a man of mystery or a man of silence or even aloof guy and a lazy guy.
You guys are
appearing lazy and as if you have no agenda, like I would love to get into bed with this beautiful woman.
Now, when he first said, I'll meet you in the middle, something in me.
By the way, that's what he meant about the end of the night.
That's right.
If this goes well, I'm going to meet you in your middle.
Well, I thought, you know, I'm going to try to keep an open mind. But my vagina had slammed shut.
Mm-hmm.
No, I tried to keep an open mind. Thought maybe it's a quirk or maybe he didn't want to make me nervous by picking me up at my home address, all of which I wouldn't have cared about. So we go to after the show, we're sitting at the bar and I'm, first of all.
Can you meet me in the middle? Is this one of the lyrics of this?
Very nice, Brian. So there's a TV on at the bar, at the Improv, and it's SportsCenter. And I notice his eyes darting over. Now, mind you, he's asked for my number and asked me out, and we are having our first drink, and he actually puts his finger up and goes, just a second, I have to check the Giants score.
He shushed you.
Yeah.
Giants score. Now he's San Francisco man.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, from the same hometown.
Yeah. Beautiful. Yeah, I'll tell you one of the greatest things. Reason number 127 why none of you should move out to Los Angeles or thinking about moving out to Los Angeles. If you move out to Los Angeles, you get to sit around while other people shush you and look over your shoulder because the Red Sox score's on, or because the Giants score's on, or because the Philly score's on. You have friends that you can't see on the weekend because the Sox are playing against the New York Yankees. Meanwhile, we're all out here in Southern California. I can't tell you the number of times that my friends have had to split parties early to go catch this, or go watch that, or get shushed, or can I call you back because they're team was playing. Will you surround yourself with thousands of people where their team is something other than your team? And it's hard to find times when their team is not playing and your team is not playing, or they can come out or whatever it is. This is the only town in the world. Forget about the country. The world where you have to sit around and hear about other people's teams over and over and over again. I've had more Red Sox talk, more Patriots talk, more Giants, more Penguins, more Steelers talk, more Pirates talk, more talk about people and their crap. I've had more New York Yankees versus New York Mets talk than you could fill an Olympic-sized goddamn swimming pool with, and I don't live there.
Yes, I get it. I'm a sports fan. I was excited that my Warriors won last night. Mm-hmm. I get it. But in the middle of a date, and it's the first date, and that score is not going to be any different in an hour when you get home.
Mm-hmm.
Could you just wait?
If you're a real man and it comes down between the score there and the score at your house, I don't care what kind of sports fan you are. You tough it out. You could have everything I've ever been addicted to in my whole life sitting to my immediate left. And if the girl I want is in front of me, I won't notice it. Because, say, you know, Jack Silver wants me to go, that's our boss, wants me to go on Lycus 101 because I'm getting a divorce.
Mm-hmm.
And I may do it because he's my boss. But I could not disagree with this man more. If we're going to be vile and tell the inside scoop on men, do you know how I get chicks and keep them? By doing the opposite of what that man says. I bring flowers.
I was going to guess figure four.
After I have the sex, I then send flowers in a note. Can't wait to see you again. And then eventually they vanish, but they still have a good memory of me. And if some guy, some girl dumps out on me, they'll go out with me again and have sex with me again. He's
more cash, less cash.
See, I'll spend the cash. But that cash is worth my last dollar.
Can't spend over $40. Although I would say if you floated that, originally in 1981 out of Phoenix, you have to go up with inflation, as I've said to Lycus many times.
This guy bought me 8 Jamesons, and I had one sip when he had asked for the tab to close it out. What if I wanted another drink?
Wow.
I know. Either he really hated me on sight and wanted to get out, or he got nervous, or he was just a jerk. I don't know.
The bigger point possibly is all the people that say, I don't mind. I scream about this all the time to anyone who'll listen. I don't mind the people that don't want to, whatever it is, whatever you fill in the blank. They don't want to be a comedian. They don't want to take Teresa Strasser on a date. They don't want to do morning radio. They don't. I mind the people who go fill the application out, take the job, and then stand there like they don't want to be there.
I'm with you.
These are the people in life I want to strangle. I can't tell you all the exchanges I've had with people in their workplace, not in my goddamn living room, but in their workplace, where at the end of the exchange, you realize the person was angry and they filled an application out and did their job training and showed up. It's like, look, if you don't want to do this, go the F home.
Right. Yeah.
If you don't want to go on a date with Teresa Strasser, that's fine.
Don't ask me.
I'm sure there are billions of you, gazillions of you that don't want to date Teresa Strasser. Don't try to be set up with Teresa Strasser.
Can I offer something? Because I think Teresa is, we actually got in a fight at her TV show because she keeps putting herself down. And I'm starting to think that she feels...
I'm making strides.
That you deserve this kind of stuff. So I want you to do yourself a favor.
Yes.
Now, I told you a long time ago that you and I would never have any kind of connection. You never asked. I mean, I'm just saying you can tell a girl who would like you the second you see her. And I went, that girl's never going to like me like a girl. I said the same thing about Angie. Well, you went, nope, not those two. Don't bother trying.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you just know. But you want to go on a fake date with me? And I will show you what a good date is supposed to look like, and everybody shy of that fails.
But this is how it starts, you know. My wife and I went on a fake date 10 years ago, and look what happened.
I'll even fake orgasm. I swear to God, I'll fake the whole thing for
you. Well, the good news is I knew, actually, Bri, our sound effects guy, had a good metaphor. He said, you know, on a menu where they don't tell you how much the fish costs. They say market price, and he said to me, well, you set your own market price. You set your own value. And so if you go out with this kind of guy, you're putting your value low.
Mm-hmm.
Someone who will meet you in the middle. And
well, how did it end?
Well, it ended, I got annoyed in just the way that you just described, which when he checked the Giants score, I said to him, you called this meeting.
Right.
And
you called him out.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It got a little awkward. And
Didn't you? I'm proud of you.
Thank you. And then halfway through my Jamesons, he said, well, should we go? And I said, well, I have some friends here I'd like to hang out. And he left. And then I hung out and had a great time.
Well, now it begs the question, did he ask the friend to be set up, or did the friend do one of these middleman things where he went to you and said that, and then went to him and said, guess who asked me about you?
He went to the friend. I had never heard of this guy, never met him, and he said,
I know, but here's and look, believe me, I was just getting onto my jag of all this stuff that people ask for and then don't do. All the times people have come up to me and said, hey, man, how do I get on to your morning show? How do I get in the morning radio? And I go, well, what do you do? And they go, well, I thought we could come up with something. And I go, well, look, I'll tell you what. Why don't you go home and write down 8 or 10 ideas, movie review or weather. Right. Come up with a wacky. Something look, other. It's as simple as this. 13 years ago, Jimmy Kimmel said to me, after I trained him to box on the air, I said, wow, I'd like to keep this going. He said, what do you do? And I said, this is it. I sit around and I chew the fat. I crack wise. And he said, Kevin and Bean already do that. They don't need you coming in and sitting in between them and cracking wise and, you know, shooting the S. He said, you better come up with something. I said, like what? He said, you better come up with a character. I said, I don't do characters. I don't have any range. I'm no good at that stuff. He said, you want to get on the radio, you come up with something. So I went home and I came up with Mr. Burcham, the woodshop teacher, and I worked it out and I came back with something. And then I got on the radio and then it got successful. Now I'm sitting around shooting the S.
In your Ferrari or Aston Martin.
I drove them both today. put a foot through the sunroof of both cars and drove them over here like how Aquaman travels on top of the dolphins. It's called the Roman ride. Anyway, the point is now I get paid to shoot the S because I humbled myself and I came up with something.
Right.
I can't tell you all the people have said to me, hey, but how do I get on whatever? And I said, what do you got? And they go, I don't. And I go, go home and write down 5 ideas and we'll talk about them. And then I run into them in 3 weeks. And they go, hey, buddy, how about I was supposed to? And I go, well, what do you got?
I didn't write anything down.
Go and write something down and come up with something. And then we, hey, buddy, how about that? And then it just keeps going. Now 5 years goes by. They've done nothing. We live in a society where people just talk about what they want to do. That's all they do. All they do is talk about their dreams, talk about dating this person, talk about doing that. Here's what, oh, I'm going to make a movie. I'm going to be a model. I'm going to be blah, 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 blah. Shut up and do it.
Right.
And stop wasting my time. I resent it. I'm busy doing the things I said I was going to do. No, I thought I was going to do. I didn't bother wasting your time telling you. I just went out and did it. Now, you people, stop convincing everyone what you're going to do and start convincing yourself. We don't believe you.
I had the same speech given to me, and I did the same thing that you did. I took it to heart. They said, all right, you got to come up with something. And I really planned it out, and I came up, I'm going to be an ex-child star turned junkie criminal. Then I'm going to get better. And every time everybody goes, God, he's finally better, then I'm going to go to jail again. And when I get out, I'm going to improve once more, and they will embrace me.
That
was my plan. Then I went one too many times.
I was 5 and a half.
Yes, but in summer, you had a plan. You made an
effort. I did. I had a plan.
Well, Teresa, I say you're too good for one man. You should be dating 3 guys. Duct tape together.
I'm feeling fairly offended.
And you guys out there that are trying to do the lone wolf aloof thing and not pretend like you don't care, that's fine on the third date, but please set the hook, everybody.
Pretend you don't care till you're gone.
That's right. We need to take a break. Frank Vincent from The Sopranos, everybody. Yay. Catch us up on last night's episode, which, of course, I saw next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci from the HBO original series The Sopranos.
That was Florida.
Hot and sticky, like my balls.
So now you're back. How about you straighten that family out?
Not for me, Anthony. Obviously, health-wise, being a boss is a young man's game.
Frank Vincent is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, I forgot when I flipped on the channel, the other flipped over to channel, and I saw Raging Bull. I forgot about Frank Vincent.
You did?
Raging Bull. Well, I guess I always knew he was in it, but every time I think about Frank Vincent, I think about Frank Vincent from Goodfellas, and then I think about Frank Vincent from The Sopranos, but I forgot about the Raging Bull.
It was the first thing Frank I know, because we get a little info about him each time, and on the very first one, it said Raging Bull. Oh my God, that's right! That's one of the first things I think of.
Frank Vincent?
Hey, how are you guys?
We love you.
Apparently, we love you and everything.
Well, you know, somebody asked me, I was doing an interview on Friday with some New York paper because I'm going out to New York at the end of the week. And they said, favorite sports movie? And I said, I said, oh, sports movie. Ooh, let's see. I guess Hoosiers. Hoosiers. And then for some reason, about 10 minutes later in the interview, I said, wait a minute, Raging Bull. And that's it's such a good movie, I don't think of it as a sports movie. Yeah.
Right. I have it listed in my book as a number one sports movie.
Do you really? Because that would not have come to me.
It's weird. It's like sports movie isn't a good enough title for Raging Bull. It's movie.
Right. Yeah. You don't think of it as a sports movie because it's boxing and it's a lot of emotional stuff involved.
It's a great tribute to Raging Bull that you don't think of it as a sports movie and it's half sports.
Yeah, I would think Field of Dreams. I would think
Rudy.
Right, right.
I think Quicksilver with Kevin Costner on his bicycle, but that's
Prefontaine. Yeah.
Yes.
Hoop Dreams.
Oh, there's a lot of good ones, but that's one of that's the classic.
It really is, and I wonder, like I said, if people even put it in that category because, like, it's just in best. You're blowing up. Is that Bobby D on the other line?
That's Martin Scorsese. He's calling up about you. He's talking about movies.
Hey Frank, are you going to be in Tribeca this weekend?
You told me that. I leave Thursday for Florida.
Oh, what's in Florida?
It's hot and sticky like his boat.
Yeah.
Relaxation and vacation.
So are you all done with The Sopranos? I know I ask that every
week.
I'm
all done, yes.
And that's it. Now, did they have a big rap party?
Yeah, absolutely. We had the premiere. We had a rap party, sure.
So that's it. I mean, you may never see some of those people again.
Absolutely right.
Chances are, think about high school.
Can I ask you about Junior? He had an amazing episode last night. How old is that actor? It's hard to tell.
What do you think?
I cannot tell. He's so phenomenal.
It's weird because he looks like he's a man in his 70s. Yeah. On the other hand, his intensity and his energy is so raw that it's like almost taking a younger man and putting it inside an older guy. Like that guy. There used to be a Six Flags Magic Mountain ad where a guy looked like Uncle Junior he'd be dancing around. Spookiest ad I've ever seen before, ever.
Yeah, but you have to realize, Adam, that all that costume was on a young guy.
Right. That's why it was spooky, possibly a black man. Yeah, making it spookier. But the point is
putting an old man in a young man's body is what Bill does.
Do you think he was going to kill him or what? Did you think he was going to kill him last night?
I've been yelled at for giving too much away for those who are TiVoing the show and didn't get to it yet.
Spoiler
but
alert.
I will just say that Uncle Junior was in prime form. Last night. And yes, how old is that actor? Because I would say late 60s, early 70s.
Who, Dominic? You talking about Uncle Junior?
Yeah.
76 years old.
Wow.
And where has he been hiding? Or has he been hiding in plain sight and he's just so good?
Wait, he played in The Godfather.
Oh, he did?
Yeah, he was, he was, anyway, I'll think of his name.
Frankie somebody?
Yeah. No, he had like two... three or four scenes in The Godfather.
Thank you, bananas.
And are some of these guys, though, he was in The Godfather, but that was 30 years ago.
Right.
Has he been working consistently, or was he just like a dentist for the last 20 years?
I must have did 10 movies with him in the interim, low-budget movies.
Ah, I see.
And also Tony Sirico.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Imperioli, all these guys, we've all worked together many, many times.
Well, so the moral of the story seems to be the material at The Sopranos.
Absolutely.
Like you're saying, where's this great actor? Well, this great actor's with all the other actors who were crappy actors because they had crappy scripts and crappy movies.
Yes, sir.
But now they have great scripts and a great series, and all of a sudden you see what they can bring.
Right, exactly right.
Well, now Frank Vincent, we're speaking to, by the way, plays Phil Leotardo. It seems like your character, things are starting to sort of boil up to a head for your character, and it seems like you're getting ready to go to war. Is that true?
Well, I guess not to spoil it for any TiVoers, people, but it seems that way, don't it?
Yes,
yeah.
it does seem to be boiling. And now there's a certain intensity when you watch The Sopranos now because you know there's no next season.
Right.
So with no next season, everybody's head is potentially on the chopping block because, hell, you could kill anybody in the cast at this point. It's not like, well, you can't afford to lose this guy.
Right.
What are you going to do next year?
It doesn't have to be the black member of the landing crew from Star Trek.
That's right.
Right. That guy doesn't have to get it.
You're
right.
Very perceptive, Adam.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Frank, did I stumble onto something?
Well, you might have. You know, it's like you said, it's the end of the series. So stuff is going to be happening. Next week we have a big celebrity, and it's going to be a it's going to cap something really good. That I don't mean cap like shoot somebody. I mean it's going to bring the whole circle around to our boy Phil.
Big celebrity, perhaps a seventh Baldwin we haven't heard of.
Yeah, Larry Baldwin.
Who
Baldwin we don't talk about.
Who might actually the Baldwin you don't talk about is probably feeling pretty good about now.
Right. Exactly.
So you say a big celebrity this coming week, huh?
Yeah, big name. Not necessarily. Well, I don't want to go any further.
A surprise.
Surprise for Phil, and Phil's going to be. Yeah. Phil's love it.
Phil Leotardo. All right, we'll be watching Frank. And Frank.
Yes, sir.
We don't want to leave without mentioning frankvincent.com. That's where you go to get your guy's guide to being a man's man. And you can get your shine box.
Go home and get your f***ing shine box.
And because you're a man's man, Frank Vincent of The Sopranos, tell me one thing. Would you ever meet a girl in the middle for a date, or would you pick her up?
But I meet her where?
Meet her in the middle if you had a date.
Teresa
would you pick
had
her
a
up?
First date the other night.
I'd pick her up.
The guy wouldn't drive all the way to her house.
No, I always pick her up.
I know.
Send a car.
Sometimes the bitch can walk home, but I'll tell you, I'll pick her up.
Well, Adam, you're at this festival this week. I wish you good luck.
I wish you were there to share my triumph, my friend. But we'll be like ships in the night. And yes, let me say this, Frank Vincent, being an old school paisan. Women keep saying they want to be independent, they want to be treated as equals, they want this and they want that. But when it comes to dates, especially first dates, they are as old-fashioned as their grandmothers were. And even if they don't want to admit it, they secretly love it. Bring some flowers, put on something that showed you cared, and make the drive over to their place.
Nice and romantic.
Thank you. Frank Vincent, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
Thanks,
the
Frank.
Guy's Guide to Being a Man's Man. Am I right? I mean, the thing is we, as I always complain about on this show, something happened in the early 70s where we tried to convince men they were women and women they were men or everyone they were the same. As a matter of fact, we did that with every culture and everything. We tried to convince society that roly-poly fat chicks were just as beautiful as tall, leggy models, that every culture was exactly the same, that there was no difference in gender. Well, that boy just acts like a boy because you gave him a gun and you gave the girl a dolly. And there's no reason why girls can't be cops and firemen and astronauts and scientists and boys. Well, they could stay home. I don't know whose plan this was, but it's an experiment that hasn't worked out.
Yeah,
let's
worked out
please
well.
Stop it. My wife is more nurturing than I could ever dream of being, and I want her around my kids more than me. On the other hand, if we sent her out into the world to make money, we'd be living in a crappy apartment in Van Nuys, driving a diesel-powered Chevette right now. So I'll go out and make the dough. You stay home and take care of the kids. It works out better for everyone that way. An intruder breaks in. I'll go down and hear what the noise is. And when I hear the teapot whistling, you go down and shut the flame. It works out. It's fine. There's genetic differences. I'll buy that. Let's stop turning us into one weird unisex piece of crap with no genitalia.
Go to the bathroom and take off your panties.
That's right, Frank Vincent.
That's right, Frank.
Brian's been sitting on that since last Sunday. All right, we need to take a break. T.
Well, you mentioned the Baldwins that wish they weren't spoken of. You
yes.
might have been referring to Alec. Well, he has now responded to allegations about bad parenting based on that voicemail message.
Allegations.
I will let you know.
We didn't.
Some allegations were made, and he's responded on his website. I'll tell you what he had to say.
Coffee's for closers only.
We'll do that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's The Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. Here's what's coming up this morning with Program Director Jack Silver.
Yes, hello, this is Jack Silver. I'm interested in booking those two hot broads from the band Nelson. No, the Smokin' Hot Sisters. This is embarrassing. Okay, oh, hey, what up, peeps? Jack Fan still trying to win that $10,000 for our Book August competition. Today, we got actor Jamie Kennedy, William Shatner in studio, and Stone Cold Steve Austin. Hey, when the Jack Man does a little wrestling with the ladies, they call him Bone Old. Oh, come on, peeps, cougars are hot. so late.
Thanks, Jack. Call 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, from time to time, I tell you what's going on in the world via the snapshot found in the USA Today. USA Today has those little snapshots. You've seen them, little graphs, little pie charts, tell you what Americans are thinking. My favorite part of the pie is the don't know part that they always include. Like they go, would the average American like to be taller or thinner? And it's like 63% of males say they'd like to be taller. 54% of women say they'd like to be thinner. 21% don't know.
I don't know what you're talking about.
It's always like, if I ever ask someone a question, especially about them or their workplace or their spouse, and they say, don't know, I'm going to hit them with a microphone that I'm holding in front of them until they tell me an answer. Here's a good one. And it doesn't make me optimistic about the future. This one, the snapshot in USA Today today is called Going Green. Do you think your company should do more to be environmentally friendly? 52% say yes. All right, that sounds all right, a little over 52%. But 22%, nearly a quarter, say no. I like those guys. Hey, how about we replace the incandescent light bulb with the floor? No! Get off that stepping ladder. No, go back to your cubicle. Really? You don't want your office to recycle. You don't want them to turn the lights down at night or anything. Just no. And I guess that's you're worried about government intrusion.
Which bothers you more, the don't know on that one? Or
don't know, because 26% more than a quarter of the people they polled don't know. Would you personally work an extra weekend every month to make sure? Just saying, do you think your company could be a little more environmentally friendly? I don't know. Why? Are you from the company? No, just asking. Well, I don't know. Well, what if they save 10% on their electric or heating bill each month? Do you think that'd be a good thing?
I don't know.
Wouldn't have a take on that.
Well, should we club baby seals?
I guess you'd have to ask the seals. Well, how about we put solar panels up on the roof of your building? That way you can start putting power back on the grid. Would that be okay with you? Again, you'd have to ask my wife.
How about if we put solar panels on baby seals and just fry them, but naturally?
I don't know. I couldn't comment. Really? You're not going to commit. You're not going to commit
to...
That's
a controversial stand.
Yeah, here's how controversial it is. Hey, do you think your company would benefit from saving a few kilowatts each month? Yeah, I guess so. There you go. We'll put you right into the 52%, or maybe now it's 53% because you just signed off on your company saving money and saving electricity and natural resources. Don't know.
Don't know.
And by the way, don't know is F you. Yeah. That's what don't know. Don't know is F you.
No, there are some stupid-ass people that actually don't know.
Hey,
what's your name?
Now, you know what it is? Passive-aggressive F you. Okay. T?
Yes.
I do know about the news. Let's go.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter on this station right now.
Virginia Tech students return to class today. It's been almost a week, or exactly a week, since the tragedy there. Countless media are still basically living on campus, and students are saying they wish that the media would leave so their campus could get back to normal. An interesting fact, the smoking gun was able to dig up about Sung-hui Cho. They dug up his eBay history, which is actually not difficult to do. And what they found...
Partridge Family Lunch Pack.
Along those lines.
It's usually a sign of a serial killer.
Yes.
Well, I don't know what kind of window this offers into his troubled mind, but he spent $21.50 to buy 36 small rubber duckies and one giant rubber duck.
Aha. Uh-huh. What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means. And he also bought two empty 10-round ammunition clips on eBay. That's more obvious. Mm-hmm. And it's completely legal to buy those online, apparently.
Do you know, I saw, because I got some information over the computer, that they hold up to 19 clips, 19 bullets, and then you can tape them together and just flip them.
In a clip.
There are special ones that you can hold 30 rounds in a Glock.
In a Glock.
30 rounds in a Glock. Now, the thing will stick out 10 inches past the handle of your gun.
Sure.
But 30 bullets in one Glock.
Yeah, I know. And that's why the NRA is so successful, because somebody says, well, perhaps we ought to limit it to 14. No, no way. I'm an American.
On 60 Minutes last night.
Let me say this. I was, watching CNN this morning.
So close.
trying to get some kind of timeline. Now, I'm not going to repeat myself too much, but as you know, if you listen to the show, I've been screaming, where's the news? Where's the timeline? I'm tired of the tear-jerking stories of the Virginia Tech alumni who knew the professor, who wrote the heartfelt email and the interview with friends and family about the potential of the victims. That's all great stuff. Right. There's room for that in the news. It's the fluff part of news. But then there's a part of news that is hard, cold facts. When did he leave? Let's follow. Let's trace. You know what they do? They do that thing where they go, let's trace his pilgrimage. He went from this dorm. He went into this. It was 9:21 when the first shots were fired. I hear nothing about it and no scrutiny of the cops at all. Now, here's the deal, people. We scrutinize the cops. When they pull a guy out of the car and beat the crap out of him and there's a videotape of it, we scrutinize it. We don't have the full story. He wasn't videotaping the guy taking a swing at the cop or trying to run him over with his car two blocks earlier. We scrutinize the bejesus out of everything cops do. Well, I want some scrutiny. I want to know what the cops were doing. I'm not saying I want them marched in front of the public and beheaded in the town square. I just want answers. I just want to know. Maybe these guys are heroes. I don't think so, but maybe they are. I want the news to start asking some questions. And the other thing I want the news to do is I want them to start looking into this guy's family. I want to find out what created this monster and how we can avoid this again. There's two things that are going to save lives. The two things that are going to save lives is what could the cops do from a procedural standpoint next time, from a tactical standpoint that's going to save lives. Not that five people aren't going to die. Maybe not that 15 or 20 people. But 32, I think there's something we might be able to do to get it down to just 30.
I know this is much, much more trivial, but I need what I need is for you to get out of my head just a little bit.
What happened over the weekend?
Well, you know, and I've discussed this with Teresa, with something you'll say, and it'll stick in my head. The left turn arrow now freaks me out.
Right.
And I mean, freaks me out at rush hour. There's cars everywhere, and I still think I should go.
Yes.
But last night, or last week at some point, they said, coming up on Nightline. And I said, if I hear Adam say Nightline one more time, he needs a Nightline. He always has to have a Nightline.
Timeline.
And I went, wait, he didn't say Nightline. You're so far in grade.
The word line was in it.
Crazy.
Well, I don't know if this means anything.
Well, I have a clip of the second thing that drives me the most nuts about this Virginia Tech story that I saw on CNN about 5 this morning. We'll play the clip.
That is a really sad footnote to this whole thing as well, the impact on them.
Well, they're victims as well.
They really are.
You know, and people lose sight of that, I think, sometimes.
Alina, thanks so much.
Sure.
John?
The family. They're victims as well. We've decided we're counting them amongst the victims. And by the way, when it comes to being a victim, sign me up for the one where I'm not dead.
Right.
That's how I choose my victimhood. They say, hey, you want to be a victim as well? After all, we're all victims. The shooter's a victim. The guy sold him the gun's a victim. The families, they're victims as well. Oh, yes. And there's always some stupid nodding head next to him going, hey, they're victims. Oh, yeah. No. Yes, they're definitely victims. Well, 32 of those are victims.
Yeah,
that's
dead
like
victims.
The ones that are actually in the ground.
And
then
keep another 60 to 100 of their families that have missed their children.
Then they're the victims, yes, of all the family members and all the friends and all the kids that were horrified by this, the kind of victims that will be walking around the rest of their life hearing the sounds of this in their sleep.
Right.
And then they're the ones that get to go to work the next day and go on vacation next year and have themselves a nice juicy steak if they choose tonight.
Well, I should
those
add
aren't
this.
Victims. We're not all victims. And the questions by the media to prevent this, how can we prevent this? How can we prevent this? That's all we ask. How can we prevent this? And then what do? We go to some 50-year-old chick who works in some counseling office who has 2,000 kids she's assigned to and ask her how we prevent it. Well, how about we ask the family? Well, what if they're victims? Victims too. They didn't see any signs that their son had become socially withdrawn, that their son was clinically depressed. They didn't see any signs last year at Thanksgiving that maybe, just maybe, this kid should get some help. And maybe as the parents, they ought to try to get this kid some help. Now, again, it's just like the cops. I'm not saying it's their fault. I want someone to ask some questions. The family, not saying it's their fault, although nature and nurture, you do the math.
You are saying
I'm saying I want answers, and this is what the media should be doing, but instead they're doing what they always do, which is focus on nothing.
again, you being in my head, I've been out, you know, and about. I was in the casino. I played the Morongo. That went very well, by the way. But there are younger people there at the casino, and I must tell you that the hoodie over a baseball cap and sunglasses and head down not looking at anything is a new trend. If you're looking for those kind of signs, every teenager is going to open fire any minute.
I am saying that there we have spoken to the person's professors, their counselors, their whatever. There are not enough cops, not enough counselors, not enough concerned teachers or professors, not enough faculty at any university to ever keep track of all the screwed up people. Here's who keeps track of the screwed up people, whether it's drugs, whether it's suicide, or whether it's going on a potential killing spree. The parents. The parents must be involved, and they must be the counselors, the faculty, the professors, the officers. Man. They must be the probation officer, the cop, the bailiff, the stenographer, the judge. They must be everything in their child's life. Now, I want some questions asked, but the media, too big a pussy to do it and not interested in what's real. Anything but the real questions. All right, T, sorry.
No problem. Cho's sister released a statement, and this might shed some light on the family and whether or not it was nature or nurture. His sister is a Princeton graduate.
Aha.
She graduated in 2004.
Oh. Yes.
She works as a contractor for a State Department office.
Aha.
And would seem to be a very eloquent young lady. She said that she was sorry for what she called her brother's unspeakable actions,
mm-hmm.
and said, quote, "We pray for their families and loved ones who are experiencing so much excruciating grief, and we pray for those who were injured and for those whose lives are changed forever because of what they witnessed and experienced. Each of these people had so much love, talent, and gifts to offer, and their lives were cut short by a horrible and senseless act."
Good. Now go home and punch your dad in the nutsack and yell, "Nice job, old man." Please.
That's what he said.
I want some scrutiny on these parents.
I'm sure there's going to be a lot of scrutiny.
Oh, they're victims. They're victims, babe. They're victims just like everyone else who's alive.
Well, last night on 60 Please. Minutes. Yes.
Yes. Look, somebody stop calling them victims and start calling them on the phone and finding out how. Hey, folks, we need a quick seminar. How do we avoid this in the future? What did you do or didn't do, or what signs did you ignore so we don't get more people shot? Because hiring more counselors is not going to cut it.
Sure, and one would hope that if you knew your son was suicidal and if he had been detained and such,
yes,
that he would make sure that he had whatever medication he needed.
And what do you think? He turned into Carrot Top when he got home for spring break and when he got home for Christmas break? Hey, he's a jovial, happy-go-lucky, fun-loving, vivacious, entertaining. No, he was a depressed, screwed-up guy, and you guys dropped the ball. You should have seen the signs, even if it was just to get him to prevent him from killing himself.
Right.
Which now would have been nice if he'd done.
By the way, on a side note, I probably have all the medication he needed. He could
That's
have just
right.
come and asked me.
That's right.
I've got drawers full of stuff for different disorders.
Right. And then people do this every once in a while. I go, well, it's a cultural thing. There's a stigma. Fine, knock it off. You're in this country now.
Yeah.
Everyone with your cultural crap.
Oh.
Hey, they like to drink and drive, like to beat the crap out of their old ladies. They don't like to get their suicidal sons medication. It's a cultural thing. Knock it off.
You're here.
We got a cultural thing. We don't like getting our kids shot.
By the way, what happened this
week? It's a crazy cultural ritual we have in this country. We don't like getting our kids shot at college.
Lots of foreign flags hanging out of car windows this weekend, Mr. In My Head. What happened?
Mm-mm.
I don't know.
Soccer game somewhere?
Not sure.
I'm screaming at people.
Sure, I'm
screaming at people, and I hope they know that I mean you, and it's not some foreign word, but I'm screaming, Corona wants you to go home.
Well, you were talking about cultural differences, and rapper Cameron was discussing this on 60 Minutes last night, and talking about, in his culture, that snitching is something that's very frowned upon, and there's a lot of suspicion about the cops.
Sure.
Now, here on 60 Minutes, he was asked, would he snitch on, say, a serial killer?
There's not really to talk about with the police. I mean, for what?
If there is a serial killer living next door to you, though, and you know that person is, you know, killing people, would you be a snitch if you called police and told them?
If I knew the serial killer was living next door to me?
Yeah.
No, I wouldn't call and tell anybody on them, but
jeez,
I'd probably move, but I'm not going to call and be like, God, you know, the serial killer's in 4E.
I love the cultural thing where it's like, you ask a white guy if there's a serial killer living next door to you, he's like, I'll build a higher fence. You ask a black guy, he's like, he's over in 4E. Oh, yeah. See, when you ask a white guy living next door, you picture a house.
Right.
When you ask a brother, it's an apartment unit. He grew up in the projects,
this
guy.
And the white guy's leaving, and the black guy might put another lock on his door.
I would respect him. He said, I'll go over there and kill him.
Yeah,
and
that's what I'm
not rat him out to the cops. But just, well, listen. Listen, brothers, I know you're always complaining about the blue-eyed devil, but I'm taking a look around and thinking maybe you guys are doing more damage to your own than we are.
Well, that was the argument made by one of the scholars that they interviewed on 60 Minutes.
Yeah.
Now, we talked about Alec Baldwin and the now infamous voicemail message that he left for his 11-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
And now he has gone on his own website, alecbaldwin.com, to address the situation.
Am I the only human being that doesn't blog?
I don't blog.
Because every time I turn on something, someone's, oh, you go to MySpace or Rosie's on her blog or this today on Alex's website. I know I have a website. I just,
you do.
I don't contribute to it.
I answer my mail, and people, when we start to talk about stuff, answer our questions.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people, immediately I get answers to questions, but I don't know how to even check the comments people leave. I just use it for mail and information.
Well, good. Alec Baldwin blogged, and mm-hmm. he wrote this. In such public cases, your opponents attempt to take a picture of you on your worst day and insist that this is who you are as a person. Outside the doors of divorce court, I have friends, I have respect from people I work with, and I have a normal relationship with my daughter. I am most saddened that this was released to the media because of what it does to a child. I'm sorry, as everyone who knows me is aware, for losing my temper with my child. I have been driven to the edge by parental alienation for many years now.
Well, let me say this. First off, as I was saying, this is the danger of email. When you email somebody, you're able to write things you would never say to their face.
Absolutely.
And once you get the part where you're calling somebody and you realize you're speaking into a phone machine, you're also able to ramp it up 30 to 50%. If you're PO'd at somebody and they pick up the phone, well, you start in on them and then they fire back, and then before you know it, it's broken down to, okay, just listen, let's just work this out, as opposed to the email or worse, the phone machine, where you leave long, vitriolic, angry, whatever. So the fact that he didn't say this face to face to his daughter, because I don't think he would have looked her in her little eyes and said this, makes it less for me. Now, I also heard a man who is very frustrated. I also heard a man who uses...
Heartbroken, too.
Uses...
The kid's not calling back.
And here's a guy who uses his tongue. This is his greatest strength. This is his weapon. This is why he's a millionaire. He's eloquent. He's fast-witted. He can carve somebody up like a surgeon with his tongue. It's like, don't get into a domestic squabble with Mike Tyson. He knows how to punch.
Right.
Don't get into an argument with Alec Baldwin. He'll cut you up with his tongue. So he unleashed his own talent, essentially, on his own daughter via a thing. He had, was at his wit's end, so on and so forth. Now, I don't want to make excuses for the guy. It was not nearly as bad as everyone made it out to be. I don't care. I'm sure he's still a better father than 80% of the guys floating around who never give their kid, who abandon their kids or never pay child support or maybe just stay at home and get liquored up every night. The media.
I was batting a thousand in that last one.
The media has to act outraged. There's two things the media, I'll guarantee, doesn't really care about. First off, the IMUS thing.
Right.
They didn't care about that. We had to act. We had to sit there in front of the cameras as the media and go, wow, this is very hurtful talk. You wouldn't expect this. These girls are wonderful, wonderful young ladies. I guarantee as soon as the cameras went off, one guy turned to the next guy and made some sort of inappropriate joke himself. So we have to act. We have to pretend to act very concerned and very upset, by the way. Not even concerned, upset. We're upset over the comments that Don Imus made. We're upset over the comments that Alec Baldwin made. Why? It makes us seem that much better.
Right.
The more upset you seem about Don Imus, the less a racist people think you are. And the more upset you pretend to act about Alec Baldwin, even though everyone who has a kid is probably teed off on their kid in one way, shape, or form, and probably use their hands, forget about their tongues, although that can get even weirder. The point is all you holier-than-thou Fs who sit there and act to be pretend to be upset, you're not upset about it. You've done much worse. You know in your heart of hearts you're thinking, God, I cussed out my kid 3 months ago for something worse. So knock it off. Then we do all that, and then it's up against the Virginia Tech family where these people are victims, too. Get your story straight, you idiots. What Baldwin did was a 2. What Imus did was a 1. And what the Virginia Tech guy did was 155. And that's who you should focus
on.
We
were still focusing on this on one of the MSNBC shows or Fox shows. And I had changed my tune a little bit. And I said, I got really mad. And my wife said, don't go on and say this. People will misinterpret you. And I said, I'm sorry. This is the way I feel. It depends who has the ownership of the word nappy and hoe that day. Mm-hmm. Because if you turn on some old Stevie Wonder, he's looking back on when he was a nappy-headed boy. It's right there in his song.
Right.
Right? Mm-hmm. And then there's the cover band, the white band right now, that says, I reach back and grab the bitch by her nasty-ass nappy-ass weave, which is a cover of a black band singing, I smacked the hoe and I grabbed her by her nappy-ass weave.
Right.
It depends who has the possession of the word that day. And apparently, Imus doesn't have possession of words that other people do.
I'm just saying, as far as you
I'm not saying it was right, but I'm saying it depends who has possession.
You newscasters, stop acting all pious and, and all holier than thou when you talk about how crushing those words were, or how you were shocked and dismayed when you heard what Alec Baldwin said to his kid. Wake up. Where do you think we're living? You don't think this goes on every day, every place in this society? He was 3,000 miles away. He was out of line, no doubt about it, but you shouldn't be shocked. By the way, you deliver news. Really? You're shocked by this? What happens when there's a real tragedy? You're just going to clutch your heart like Fred Sanford and yell, I'm coming, Wheezy? Or whatever her name was.
Elizabeth.
All right.
I think his point is well taken, that was a snapshot of him possibly on his worst day. Not that it should be condoned. But in closing, at the box office, Disturbia, number one, with Fracture and Blades of Glory rounding out the top three. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that is the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Blades of Glory, by the way, not very good.
Did you see it?
Yes. Nobody gave me the heads up on not Will's best. Not horrible, just got a little too much in the everyone just sort of passed it off. Hey, no, it's funny.
It's made $101 million.
I'm really glad you said that, though. I used that as an excuse as to where I was the other night.
Oh, you did?
Because I was out late. And I said, I saw Blades of Glory. And I couldn't remember who was in it or what it was about. So thank God nobody asked.
Well, who are you making excuses
to? Bunch of guys named Will. Yes.
There's some good laughs, but not amongst his finest work.
Thank you.
I
thought it was a cartoon at first, so I got really nervous.
A bunch of isolated laughs, but not woven together.
That's
very,
kind of what
very
I said.
Nicely at all.
Because if you take the middle of the road, you're okay.
Well, it's good.
It had its moments. That kid is really, really talented, but he didn't surround himself with a cast nearly as talented as himself. And I got away with that. I've never seen it.
What kid? All right, coming up next, I'll tell you some kid that's no kid. Steve Austin, Stone Cold.
All right.
Steve Austin.
I'm going to go toss him out of my office real quick.
Please. He'll be Steve Austin, Stone Cold Steve Austin. In next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci. In theaters this Friday, The Condemned.
Jack Conrad, American, blew up a building in El Salvador, killing 3 men. What were you doing in El Salvador?
Working on my tan.
Why'd you blow the building up?
For blocking my son.
What do you do for a living, Jack?
I'm an interior decorator.
Now, Steve Austin is on the Adam Carolla Show.
Stone Cold Steve Austin. I was just thinking about wrestling, and I was just thinking, for a fake sport, there's sure a lot of injuries.
Oh, tons.
Probably more injuries than any other sport. I mean, if you do the fact that there's a lot of injuries in the NFL, but there's a few thousand guys in the NFL, and, you know, however many injuries, in WWE, there's a much smaller pool of guys and many more injuries per man. Yes?
Well, you know, when you say fake, I like to say you kind of know what's going to happen towards the end of the match. You know what I'm saying? So we're not trying to insult anybody's intelligence. But the laws of physics do apply. You know, when you get picked up and slammed and you jump off of something, then gravity kicks in and you land on that mat. People always think that the mat is like a trampoline. Man, it is not. It's got a little bit of give to it. But let me tell you something. After many, many years of doing that, it catches up to you. Just kind of like an NFL football player. You know, after their career, they feel pretty rough. I feel pretty damn good. But, I mean, it does. Does take a toll on you after a while.
Well, you're a young man. I'm working with Hulk Hogan on something right now, and let me just say, nicest, sweetest man in the world. And you walk into a place with Hulk Hogan, and you are no longer famous. You walk in with Hulk Hogan, you've walked in with Mount Rushmore. But that guy, like, it takes him forever to get out of his chair. You know, every now and again, I don't want to say what they could have. They could have been aspirin, but he said he takes a fair amount of pills to get his knees to straight. I'm not getting that man's beat up.
Yeah, he's been around a long time. And, you know, he's a big man. So, yeah. You know, when you're as big as he is and, you know, as long as he's been around, it catches up to you even more.
Well, you got out before you beat yourself up too badly, right, Stone Cold?
Well, you know what? You think for a long time, you know, when you're running white hot and everything's great and you're selling out everywhere and there's 20,000 people every single night, you feel like you're bulletproof, but you know, after enough time goes by, you start thinking, you know what, I could probably make a couple more years, but in 10 to 15 years, how am I going to feel? So you got to get out when the getting's good. And you know, I enjoy hunting and fishing and doing stuff like that, so I want to do that the rest of my life, feeling like a human being.
See, that's what I felt like when I was a big crack smoker. You know, this is really fun right now, but how am I going to feel like 10 or 15 years? Probably not that good.
It's funny, the same thing, Dan.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It's funny that the people that do the most for the living want to do the least for their hobby. Like, guys who play professional sports, professional athletes, they love fishing.
That's right.
They love sitting on a chair, drinking a beer, and staring at a body of water for hours on end. Whereas the guys who work in the cubicles, they like to go mountain bike riding.
Right. And climb mountains and do
they
crazy.
They want to do, which...
Weekend warriors.
Yeah, which is... Shows a little glimpse into the psyche of the male mind, which
Box
is
old people.
You want to do this. If you're, when you're doing that, you want to do this. When you're doing this, you want to do that. When you're diving off the turnbuckle and having thousands of people scream, you just want to go sit out on some lake.
Yeah, but you know what? When you're living life at 7,000 RPMs, right. You know, by doing that job, you want to take it down to, you know, like 1,000. Just sitting around fishing, hunting, same thing. Well, whereas, you know, in the cubicle, doing a lot of things, but the RPMs aren't up there. So, you know, like you said, on the weekend, you want to raise it up to 7,000 and get your kicks in.
I got to tell you, one thing that people never talk about with wrestling, and there's a lot of respect for
penis
these
size
guys,
and those little tights.
B.O.
I
went to wrestling camp. Now, look, you're going to get some B.O. on you if you're punching a guy or doing any kind of physical activity.
That's right.
But they don't physically put your head in their armpit. I mean, I went to wrestling camp once, and all of a sudden there's some 330-pound hillbilly who's wearing suspenders, and he's wearing coveralls, but he's wearing no shirt underneath, and he went out drinking last night, and he's got you in a headlock, and he's the world's hairiest, sweatiest guy, and the back of your neck smells like, my back of my neck still smells like this hillbilly's pit, and that was 6 years ago.
Yeah. Moonshine and B.O.
Who had the worst B.O., Steve Austin?
You know, I can't, most of the guys these days are pretty much into hygiene, but getting into professional wrestling a long time ago, that's one of my things is I'm a real germophobic. I'm a clean freak, and I'm big into the hygiene thing.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Right there in the wrestling school, we've got to do something with this guy. He's close to 500 pounds. He's going to be like the Haystacks Calhoun kind of guy.
And right.
He had to get me in a hold, and basically he had to escape from this cat. And his underarm, it was just like at a water faucet, and he just turned it on, just kept dripping in my face, and the brutality was unparalleled.
500 pounds?
Wow. It was bad. And
you mean
guys,
Big Show?
No, it wasn't him. It wasn't him. But
big guys work up manly appetites and manly funks.
But you know what the worst part
is? Because it's like three people living in one T-shirt.
Yeah, but the real brutality comes from it when you're on the road for 2-3 weeks, and guys kind of wash their gear in the sink about, you know, every 5-6 days. And when you wash something in the sink, you don't get the total effect.
Right.
So it's really,
six days.
And when someone's wearing like a bodysuit or something like that, that's when it gets bad.
Yeah, I fight in a Batman suit.
I want to fight the tag team of Purell and Dial.
Yeah. I'll go with you on that one.
I'll go with you on the hygiene thing, though. One of my favorite sports is boxing. I really love to box. The third least favorite thing I like is getting hit in the face. The second is hitting in the body. That hurts me more. But the thing I like least is they blow their nose on their gloves because they can't. They can't have, you know, they don't have any pants, so they put a glove and they blow their nose, and then they hit you square in the face with a big bottle of mucus.
Yeah.
It's the grossest thing ever.
I got to tell you, the gross out factor, something no one really factors into hoops or any of these other sports where sweaty guys are backing into you or getting into a headlock or punching you in the face.
Yeah, they do that leg lock now in Ultimate Fight where they choke them with their legs.
Guy's in his underpants. Got the adrenaline going. The let's talk about the movie, by the way, Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Tough Talk. Yeah, the movie is called The Condemned, and I'm a fan of Tough Talk. What are you doing in Nicaragua? Getting a tan? Why'd you blow up the building? Blocking the sun. Very, very cool Tough Talk.
You gotta.
I love good Tough Talk.
We cut off right then, but if you go about 15 more seconds, you get the real payoff.
Really? Because that was great, man. It's like, I can see all cash. Well, you're obviously the building smoldering behind you, and the guy's going, hey,
what's
you
the
shouldn't be here.
Of The Condemned?
Basically, long story short, it's 10 convicts, all condemned to die in various prisons throughout the world. They're bought out of these prison systems by a wealthy TV producer who's pretty much fed up with the system.
Oh, wow.
He places these cats on an island where he forces them to fight to the death.
Reality.
No, freedom.
Sure, it should be.
Freedom and some cash is going to go to the sole survivor. And while all these people are killing each other in the name of their survival, he's broadcasting us live via the World Wide Web over the Internet. So basically, for $49.99, you can log on and, for your entertainment, watch living, breathing human beings, as scummy as they might be, fight to the death.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's what I thought Survivor, the TV series, was kind of going to be like when it first came out. And I thought it was like, who can steal the other guy's food and kick his ass and make him leave the island? That's kind of what I thought it was going to be. This is what Survivor should be. This is a great idea.
It's really cool with kind of what's going on. And when you think reality TV, right, when you know what you see, you think is reality. But what goes on behind the scenes in reality TV is a whole different ballgame, you know what I'm saying?
Stone Cold Steve Austin in studio, 6-time WWE champion, The Condemned, coming out this Friday. Does this movie take place in the here and the now, or is it the year 2047?
No, this is in the here and now, I think, you know.
And you guys shot it in Australia?
Shot it in Australia, and, this script found me in Los Angeles about 2 years ago. A guy brought it to me, originally wanted me to play the part Vinnie Jones plays in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
But once I took this thing to Vince McMahon, he got behind it. He goes, you know what, we'll do it, but you're going to play this guy. So that's how I played that. But from start to finish, when I got this script and the original writer rewrote it 3 times, and then our writer-director that we put on now rewrote it 9 times, it's about a 2-year process. So point is, I think 2007 is a great time for this movie to come out with all the heavy-duty reality stuff.
Steve, let me pitch you your next project.
I'm listening.
Here we go.
Because we're looking.
Okay, you tell
Vince. I hope it's good.
Tell Vince McMahon about this. It's never been more topical. Again, with all the reality TV you were talking about and all this To Catch a Predator business blowing up. Pedophile. Okay,
that's just right. It's a great idea.
Now, just hear me out. Just hear me out, Steve.
I don't think people are serious. I think you need to let him know that you're dead serious about this.
We're moving forward. I do. I am. I mean, okay. We're moving forward.
Okay, maybe it's just me.
It's the year 2018 and a half. That's right. We're in June. We've jumped ahead 9 years. We take pedophiles and we put them on an island. Because we can't figure out what to do with these people. We see it in today's society. Do we kill these guys?
Yes.
Is it a disease? We sure as hell don't want them let back into society. But what the hell do we do with a guy who's looking at kiddie porn on the Internet? Like, what do we do with this guy? So here's what we do. We put him on an island. The government does it. Now there's an island filled with pedophiles. It's a sort of devil's island. It's like what they used to do back in the old days. They just have a penal colony and put everyone on an island. Well, there's a plane coming home from Bermuda filled with Cub Scouts. That's right. They had their big jamboree in Bermuda. And on that plane is a Cub Scout troop. And it's a father and his reluctant Eagle Scout son, who he's convinced to come along with him on one more, even though the son has turned his back on scouting. He's gone all gothy. He's listening to that, what's that band your daughter likes?
Chemical Romance.
My Chemical Romance. He's wearing eyeliner. He's gone all goth. But still, underneath the hoodie and underneath the eyeliner lies the heart of a former Eagle Scout. And he's with Daddy. Now the plane goes down. The pilot and co-pilot are killed. Dad is wounded badly. And there's nothing but the scouts on Pedophile Island. Now, of course, when they kept... Now, the pedophiles are broken up into different tribes.
Right.
Now, I know you got a face on.
Steve, are you following this?
I'm seeing this. I'm there. I'm in the moment. Yeah.
I'm not going to have you as leader of the pedophiles. I'm not going to have you be that. I'm going to have you be the dad, the scouting dad, who's taught his son well, his Eagle Scout son well, but you're mortally injured in the plane crash, and they have to drag you around. Now, they're on the run. Now, here's the problem. The government has denied existence a pedophile. You see? No, wait a minute. Scratch that. You're not the dad. No, because the dad dies halfway into Act One when he yells, leave me behind. You're the leader, the rogue leader of the SEAL team that does know about the pedophile island and is going to do something about it on his own time.
Now you really got me.
You get the Zodiac wrap. We have that scene where you're putting on the blackout stuff on your face, even though it's daylight.
Yeah.
We still have you putting the blackout.
Yeah, sure. Wearing that jacket, the camo.
Yeah, sure. You're in Cammy, it's the middle of the day. You get the rest. Your former SEAL team leader who finds out what's going on and the government tells you to be quiet. They want you to turn your back on it. That's not what you signed up for.
Oh, no, I'm not turning my back.
You're going in with the Zodiac.
You go, Austin.
Now you have all the different branches of the pedophiles that are out there. You got this tribe and that tribe. Just like in any island, they break off into different tribes. The Boy Scouts are staying one step ahead of these guys, but the fat kid gets picked off. Because he gets picked off. He cannot. When I say picked off, I don't want to go into detail. But the point is, we hear a scream from the desert. We see from the jungle. We see the birds fly away.
Yeah,
we see the birds fly away.
And the giraffes run.
Right now, you land on the beach, and you got to go after the pedophiles and say them. Now the Cub Scouts are using their various merit badges to create the traps and tie the knots and skin the rabbits and do the whole thing. The thing writes itself.
It does.
Steve, Stone Cold Steve Austin is the leader of the commando team that makes the assault on Pettif Isle.
Okay, now as brilliant as that is, because I know you want in. I can see in your face that you want in. Mine's a little shorter, so you might not want this. I've got one that's based on another show. It's called X-File Island. And I just take all my exes and kill them and leave their bodies there.
Well, speaking of which, Steve Austin, you have 3 ex-wives.
Want another one? I got a spare.
So they can all go on Danny's Island.
I got a spare, buddy.
I better take a break and go to the restroom real quick.
Steve, and by the way, you don't have a lot of dialogue in this movie. It's a lot of posing and flexing in the sun, but there are 2 things you say repeatedly. Okay. You say, not on my watch. You say that all the time?
Hold on. Not on my watch.
Right, nice.
And then we won't bleep it out, but I mean, in the movie, you'll say the full word for radio. Right. We'll clean up, but you say, I'm getting too old for this ass.
Right. I'm getting too old for this ass.
Right. Nice. And then once in a while, people, but it becomes confusing at a certain point because people go, hey, what do you want for dinner? Not on my watch.
That's all he says.
And he says he's getting too old for this ass.
Now, one of my favorites ever, and now you're going to be taking a line from another wrestler who turned governor, but one of my favorites, I ain't got time to bleed.
There you go, Jesse Ventura.
That was a
what a good guy he was. Hey, let me just throw a little bit of creative in there just because I want to show my acting chops in this thing.
All right.
And I'm hoping we have financing in place.
I'm sure it's
and
already,
a director.
If anyone's listening.
But the fat kid, when the giraffes run and the birds fly away,
right.
If just somewhere, like if I could just shed that tear.
Single tear.
Yeah,
wow.
Just one single effing tear.
That's right.
Did anybody else just get what happened?
That shows that, I
remembered
I
the giraffes and the birds.
I'm
he was
listening.
Hanging
I'm
on
in.
Every word.
Every single word.
That's
what
right.
What do you think you can bring to this role?
Huge muscles and drink 2 beers at once.
I'll go with that. And then we'll work on the rest of it later, but that's a really, really good start.
Single tears, the birds single, fly away from the canopy of the forest.
Another tear, and you're thinking, hey, this guy's a wuss. He can't clean up Pettif Island.
Right.
But one tear says so much more.
And the other thing with the one tear is the rest of the face isn't crying. There's no expression. It just, comes on its own.
Yeah, just like
the regular face is still ready to kill. Just the tear comes down.
Right.
Dude, who are you? Yeah, I wasn't expecting this guy. Were you?
No, I thought he'd be
You're
some
like
guy.
Good.
He got got hit with a folding chair one too many times and couldn't string together sense, but not Stone Cold Steve Austin.
Well, Danny, it's no wonder you love him because both of you have a penchant for pirate jewelry. He's got the piratey ring.
Dude, I have so much ring? Pirate jewelry. Well, I'm just starting with this today and working my way down to the rings.
The old skull thing, it's always a good standby. It's one of my favorites.
You wear it well.
But at your size, you don't wear it the same. I like it because I like it, but it also cuts the bejesus out of people, and you probably just knock people down.
Stone Cold Steve Austin, The Condemned.
Yeah.
And look for soon coming to theaters, Pedophile.
If I was not going to see Condemned, which I was anyway, I would stand in line now. You are a great interviewer. You listen well. I really like this.
This is a feel-good movie of 2007.
It was blocking my son.
You just tell Vince McMahon or Peter North, because they look the same to me. You tell...
Or Peter Tork, in case Def Gun Frat guys here.
If Peter North and... Michael Buffer had a kid, I believe it would be Vince McMahon. But you just tell Vince McMahon you have your next project. It's a little something called Pedophile. Steve Austin, The Condemned, this Friday. God bless you, Steve. We'll take a break when we come back because it's Monday. That makes it Music Monday. Now, a list of the most annoying songs has come out, and we decided to make that the theme for this Music Monday. So I have my five most annoying songs of all time. Danny and T have theirs, and we'll play them for you next on The Adam Carolla Show.
It's Music Monday on The Adam Carolla Show. Somebody compiled a list of what they thought were the most annoying songs of all time. Well, we got our hands on it. And frankly, we can do much better. Adam, Danny, and Teresa have their own list of the most annoying songs ever written. Music Monday on The Adam Carolla Show.
Ranchero music, which is what we're hearing now, is...
Was that the chicken dance?
Noticeably, yes, annoying. And I've heard more of it than I've heard any other style of music in my life because I've always worked construction with Latin guys, well, and they listen to this music. And, you know, we do this thing where it's like, hey, man, everything's a cultural thing. Like, hey, man, who's to say whether it's good or bad? Ranchero music blows whale ass, and it sucks. And, you know, you do that thing where it's like, hey, who's to say? No, it sucks ass. I don't care where you're from, what you grew up with, or what you did. I like to live in a society where we can agree that some things are better than others, regardless of where they came from. You must be drunk and filled with more pills than a pinata is filled with hard candy in order to enjoy this garbage.
It's grating and annoying.
And it blares from every radio. And as a matter of fact, you live here in Southern California and you live up in the mountains where I live. It's the only stations the radio will pick up is the Ranchero stations. It's a great, cruel joke. I believe it was created to drive the white people off their land. I really do.
I think in some cases you and I
it's
are
It's Mexican like Pied Piper is what it is.
I'm
going to flee to Canada so I don't have to hear any Ranchero music.
Oh, please. This is one of the occasions I think that you and I are like, if somebody says to you, I mean, who's to say if it's good or bad? I always say, oh, I am.
Yes.
You know, if I'm positive, I'm the guy. I don't need backup.
Anybody who's smart, I will tell you a story that I've told many times, although it's been quite some time, that illustrates this point, which is I said to my mother once how well written The Simpsons was and what a great TV show it was. And I said, best written show on TV, The Simpsons. That's probably during their heyday in the mid to later 90s. And she said, well, that's just your opinion. Thanks, Ma. Just your son's opinion.
How would I know that?
She said that's just your opinion.
Some people may like Caroline in the City, and that may be their favorite show. And then
they're wrong.
Who are you to tell them whatever? Because it's just as valid for them as it is for you. And I said, listen, I want to live in a society where we have an up and down and a right and a wrong. This is a much better written TV show. And if you like dogs playing poker and I like Monet, that doesn't make us equally right. That makes you an a-hole.
No, not the one where the dog's cheating with the card under his foot.
Well, if he's passing an ace to the schnauzer.
If he's passing an ace, then it's a good one.
Then I'm going to apologize to you. The point is someone's passing an ace in the bathroom, by the way, when I went in there. I thought we made a rule about that.
I thought you shamed everyone out of pooping here.
Lord knows I tried. Maybe it was on the KR side of the building. All right. Anyway, Don't get me started. Most annoying songs. T, what do you have?
Yes. Well, they came out with a list online of the 22 most annoying, and most people would agree that they are annoying.
22?
Yeah, they picked 22 as kind of random.
I'm annoyed that they didn't do 20 or 25
Same.
Or 50.
I find that annoying.
I'm now annoyed at their list.
Number five on that list was a song by the Baha Men.
Let the dogs out!
Oh, good. Because my daughter was just the age to love
the
this.
More annoying. This gets more annoying when it gets into every stupid kid movie.
Wait till your kids are old enough for a song like this to be important to them, and you let the dogs out, or the dogs need out, or the dogs need it, or anything with the word dogs in it. And
oh, they start boo-hooing?
No, because you have to answer. It's a game.
Oh.
Who let the dogs out? And you have to look at them and go, who? Who?
All right.
Or you're not a good dad.
You guys might remember this jingle because it could never get out of your head once it got in there.
All right.
Number four on that list.
All right.
I'm considering it a jingle.
Kind of a cop out, though. That's a jingle. Yeah, that's not a song.
I think you'll find number three by Styx. Oh, boy. A little bit annoying.
Mr. Roboto?
Yes.
It's a wild guess. I don't have this on 8-track in my car.
Correct the mundo.
Yeah, see, this song, Mr. Roboto, has crossed over into the into novelty land, and now I can enjoy it.
Yeah, it's not bad.
It sucks.
All right, should we get on with our list,
yeah,
or do you have another?
Ours. Well, the number one song, I should say, the most annoying song on this list.
All right, but how often do you really hear it? I mean, it's not played on the radio.
You're not assaulted by this song everywhere you go.
I think the list is bogus because it's playing this song and it's playing a jingle from a commercial. This has to be songs that get played on the radio. Either way, that's the lot I chose from.
Okay, good.
Mine are going to be songs on the radio. And speaking of novelty songs, do we have Rocket Man, by the way? Bill Shatner. I know Miss Bill. You know Miss William Shatner.
Nice choice.
Last night, pre-flight. 0 hour. 9 a.m. And I'm going to be high.
Can't be annoying. It's too novel.
It's too good.
It's
too campy.
Well, Bill Shatner, William Shatner, is going to come in studio next break, and he will have some of his annoying songs as well. But let me get started. First, one I heard over the weekend. Wouldn't have made my list, but I heard it. It's about 10 years old.
The world is a vampire.
Little Smashing Dumplings. And I just thought, I'm tired of guys whining. I hate whiny songs. It's such a tortured existence Smashing Dumplings has.
By the way,
the owner
of Spin Magazine called this guy the Mozart of our day.
Really?
I know.
But his dad's Bob Cuccioni, so what the hell?
It's annoying, it's depressing, it's a bummer, and it's not even good. And it's pretentious.
You know, I don't know that I've ever listened to it closely enough to know that it's pretentious. This is a button pusher for me.
I would change the station.
I really don't. I usually turn things down. I'm not a button pusher. But this song, I'm going to really just go, oh no, I'm still just a rabbit cage. No, I hate this guy. He's a bazillionaire.
You now found out what song it was?
No, I just didn't remember that line was in it. I just remember I didn't listen close enough to find it pompous. But this, despite all my rage, okay, you're not a teenager. You're teenage rage.
Right.
And a rat in a cage, a gilded friggin' cage.
This song's annoying. Smashing Pumpkins, generally annoying. A couple of good songs I like, and way, along with Billy Corgan, way overrated.
Yeah.
Way overrated.
Correct the mundo.
All right. But no one wanted to say how much that song sucked in 1995. We all would pretend like we liked it, and then I heard it over and over again. I just want to drive off the goddamn road. Mm-hmm. Here's another one. I can't stand this ubiquitous. My love-hate relationship with The Boss, which is, I like the guy and I like the guy's music, just not as much as everyone else in society. Prince and Bruce Springsteen, we all decided we're in love with, and I would suggest there are other singer-songwriters we could all enjoy once in a while if we didn't have to hear this song every 10 seconds.
And it's so easily misunderstood. Do you remember that Reagan wanted to use it as his slogan song? And,
yeah.
And Bruce Springsteen said, listen to the words, man.
You quite get it.
You're not getting what the song's
about. All I'm saying is if Bullet with Butterfly Wings, the one we just heard from Smashing Pumpkins, or this one, ever comes on the radio, I can't dive on it to change it fast enough. All right, he said Born in the USA 126 times, and we're 13 seconds into the song. So enough of that horrible song. Never need to hear it again. Annoying. Annoying. Annoying.
At the very least.
Let's hop ahead to 06. Justin Timberlake, we used to give a fair amount of crap to, and then everyone decided he was the coolest white man
he's
on
so,
the planet
so sweet.
About a year and a half ago, and then everything. Now, this song sounds like something I think I could pull off with a Casio if you gave me enough time.
Yeah.
I hate myself, but I like
sucks.
It.
I don't.
I mean, it's bad.
I got asked to dance all weekend at Morongo.
Right.
I went to the club afterwards. And I said, I don't dance, I don't dance, I don't dance, I don't dance. And when this song came up, so many people got like so insane, they just pulled me onto the dance floor.
Right.
Like, this song was important, and you didn't even get your own option whether or not you wanted to dance to it. They just
wow.
pulled me and my friends on because you must dance to this song, and I don't get it.
Now I don't like it anymore after hearing it for 15 seconds.
Picturing Danny's bedazzled women's jeans out there.
No, not because of that. Just so bad.
You should. I do the Bruce Springsteen white man dance.
Oh, that's it. Yeah.
Wait. Adam, this is radio.
We've seen Danny dance many times. He's a good dancer. Not this.
Good in that he's not bad.
Yeah.
Good in that I don't care that much.
Iceman.
Yeah. Oh, like Jack Silver.
I like where your head's at, buddy.
No, I don't like this song. It's annoying.
Yeah, it's annoying. And how awesome it is.
No, I'm not awesome.
They call me Sexy Jack. Yeah. I'm down.
No, I'm saying it's not a good song. I'm annoyed by it. Here's the thing. Look, it may get under your skin and you kind of like it for no good reason, but it's not a well-crafted song. It just sucks. Hey, here's the deal.
Is it about anything?
I have no idea. I just think anyone could do this. I don't know who's singing. It sounds like he's singing through one of those voice synthesizers that trach victims wear to talk
to. And he's not, because he can sing. He did this on purpose to himself.
It just sucks. All right. Sexy back sucks. I have my top two. Therese and Danny have their
ready
top
to
three, and then we'll bring William Shatner in here for his. We have his number one. T, why don't you give us your number three? Danny, number three, we'll take a break, then we'll bring Shatner, and he'll give us his.
Okay, well, I know annoying is in the ear of the beholder or the listener, but this song has no social, no musical, or no lyrical value, yet it was number one, and I've had to hear it dozens of times. Wrong song.
Wow, bummer.
I was going to say, number one.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Phil Collins. Susu Studio?
Yes.
Yeah. Phil Collins should win some sort of award for most crap played on the radio. I don't know who else is in that league. Maybe the Eagles. Maybe Hall Notes. Maybe Huey Lewis. There is a...
Love it or hate it, Hotel California is about something. Desperado's about something.
Yeah, and they're good songs. They
this
just got played
nothing.
Way too much.
You
yeah.
want Huey Lewis on the news?
Well, listen, I knew this guy must have been backing up dump trucks filled with cocaine at program director's offices when Groovy Kind of Love cracked the top five.
No comment, peeps!
That is a... you got a runny nose, yeah. That was a... That Groovy Kind of Love was a horrible song when it came out by, like, the Four Preps in 1963. It was worse when Phil Collins did it. I'm sure he did it as an experiment to see if he could take the worst song from the 50s and make it even worse, and it would still get played. Yes, this song sucks. Many, many of his songs that got played in the 80s suck. Thank you.
Number one. Groovy Kind of Love. At least this doesn't have a nonsense word in its chorus.
Susu Studio? Yeah.
That bugs me.
Me too.
This is a nursery rhyme, essentially.
He feels blue. He takes a look at you. That's all he has to do.
M. Night Shyamalan's movies are usually stories he tells his kids. And then he goes, hey, that's a good one. I'll make it into a movie.
Yeah.
That's what this is.
I wish he'd stop it right
me
there.
Too.
Just tell it to the kids and leave it at that, M. Night. Well, Danny.
All right. You ready?
I'm poised.
Now, here we go. For our... I want to go up the list here.
Wait a minute. We will get to your number one song. So this is your number three song. Okay.
I'm going up the list here. So, all right. My third most annoying song is...
Is it?
Just hit it and I'll tell you.
Yeah, Four Non Blondes.
Very nice. Four Non Blondes.
Which sounds like Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Except if I was with this person, I'd be worried, not happy about it. Now, the lead singer of this is a chick, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's spooky right there.
Really?
Yeah, she looks scarier than she sounds.
It's not like Janis Joplin where you go, wow, that's a super rock and roll voice. You go, that's a guy.
Sometimes you get in trouble. Wanna do it in a double, don't worry.
Hey, not bad.
Be happy. Reminds me of a more annoying song. And it's hard to get more annoying than this song, but there's nothing worse than one conjures up imagery of an even more annoying song. Now I have Don't Worry, Be Happy and this song rolling around in my head.
If this one's killing you, this was just kind of my toss-in because it bugged me. The next two.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
In my world, I want these people dead for their songs.
Wow. I'm salivating with anticipation.
I am indeed.
We will take ourselves a break. When we come back, the great William Shatner in studio with his most annoying song as well as our number one songs as well next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Back to The Adam Carolla Show from the Comedy Central roast of William Shatner.
You know who I am? I'm William Tiberius Shatner. Damn right. I've saved the universe hundreds of times. I've been to space. The final frontier. To boldly go where no man has gone before. Home to off to Lisa Lampanelli.
William Shatner is on the Adam Carolla Show.
I think I saw William Shatner as sort of the MC, I think it was the George Lucas, like, Lifetime inductee into the AFI something about a year and a half ago over the Kodak Theater.
Were you there?
I was sitting there at some expensive table that the Discovery Channel bought, and I remember sometimes you get discouraged as a comedian when you see people that aren't even really comedians being funnier than you could be if you were in that same position, and I saw Bill Shatner doing a really funny, flawless opening monologue, and it was 12 minutes long, and he didn't miss a beat, and he didn't hiccup, and he didn't stutter, and I don't know if he wrote it himself or he was reading the teleprompter, but whatever it was, I was discouraged. I wasn't inspired.
Yeah, you're funny. See, we all have our own individual annoying songs, and we all have our own ways of being funny. Adam, you're funny, but you're funny in the Carolla way.
Yeah.
That was a slam, dude.
That's the don't get as many chicks, don't make as much money kind
of way. Not funny in a Shatner way.
Not in a ha-ha way, but in a Carolla way.
Yeah, and they're quality chicks.
Yes.
Well, what is the Carolla way of being funny, William Shatner?
I was going for empty. I was going for silence, you know.
He focuses on the Mark and Brian way of being funny. It's not so much a Carolla way. Well, Bill Shatner.
Larger audience, I don't know.
We will. I know you got to be there in about 10 minutes. We'll focus on a couple things. First off, the Hollywood Charity Horse Show, which you've been involved with for many years over in Burbank. A lot of people don't know you can ride horses.
Take which stables? I grew up there.
You can go ride in your street in certain parts of Burbank.
Wells Fargo, Hollywood Charity Horse Show. It's on Saturday. It's on all week long, starting Wednesday, but it culminates in a Saturday night party, and it's a great party, and you'll have great fun, and Riders in the Sky are there. That isn't the important thing. The important thing is it benefits two charities that take care of handicapped kids, and if you're going to make a charitable contribution this year, this is the place to make it. We'll give you a great time Saturday, starting around 5:30, 6 o'clock.
I don't mean to disagree with you, but the important part is that you'll have fun. And by byproduct, children will be helped.
First and foremost, have fun.
No, first
and, and Bill Shatner, you'll be the auctioneer for the event, right?
Well, auctioneer and guest, and I'll greet you there. You come, 818-840-9066 is the box office number at the Hollywood, at the Los Angeles Equestrian Center. And if you have want information, it's williamshatner.com.
Or horseshow.org.
Or horseshow.org. All those are ways by which you can find out the charities, these wonderful charities, Head with Horses, which riding therapeutic program, the Camp Max Strauss, sending kids to camp for a couple of weeks. It's helping children. If you're going to make a charitable contribution this year, make it through the Hollywood Charity Horse Show. Get tickets to Riders in the Sky, a great dinner, horse entertainment, see celebrities. You guys should run a...
What is it about horses, though? When I was, and I'm not making light, I'm just telling you a dead serious story. When I went to a very, very, very expensive rehab, one of the big things we did once a week was we got in the truck and we all went and worked with horses. And it could have been any other animal, it could have been any other activity that didn't involve booze or drugs, but they picked it, what they called equine therapy.
Well, they do.
Why?
They
Why
do
is that so important?
They do it in prisons as well. I think it has to do with, first of all, they're beautiful.
They are beautiful.
And your sense of beauty and is identified. And there's something about the emotional identification with a horse and the physical therapy itself. It benefits autistic kids, for example.
Yeah, I've worked with autistic kids and horses, and they say the horses are very calming and
exactly.
They're confidence building.
Exactly the word.
I worked with a charity for a while that brought retarded horses to look at C-list celebrities in rehab. These were troubled horses with learning disabilities from the inner city.
There's a Corolla thing right
we
there.
We put them in a trailer and we take them to see Bonaducci and company up at Promises.
And when they saw Bonaducci,
and,
that helped them.
They never wanted to drink again.
As a result, Bonaducci's here. So, I mean, come on.
The horses killed themselves. But what did I get? I don't mind anything but the demotion to see this.
All right. Well, it's funnier that way.
But these kids
talking about
walk.
You.
These kids talk when they haven't been able
yes,
to talk before.
That's true.
As a result of being on these horses. These are great charities. 818-840-9066 is the box office number. Come on down. $250 a ticket.
Oh.
Can I tell you real quick how I met William Shatner, just so you know who you're talking to? Because you have the Captain Kirk, you have the TJ Hooker.
He kissed you when he saw you.
Yeah.
I actually said, are you going to kiss me or what? And I kissed him. But we've known each other for 30 years, maybe more than that.
I think longer than that. I've followed your...
But I walked into Chuck Norris's karate school, and there's William Shatner, who I then knew as Captain Kirk. The other big, the bigger things, if you will, one was, you know, kind of a bizarre thing. A 13-week show went on to be forever. But you hadn't done any of your giant things yet. I just walked in, and there's Captain Kirk. And he's wearing a black belt or a brown belt. I don't know which at the time. But he cocks back, and there's these three black belts, and they're behind each other so they don't go flying. Mm-hmm. And Shatner goes, kaboom! And like, I don't know, 4 inches thick of wood. And it's different when there's no spacers. It's just a block of wood.
Mm-hmm.
Just shatter, and all these black belts go flying. And that's the day I went, okay, that's a real movie star. That's not a fake movie star. That guy doesn't need stuntmen. That guy doesn't need anything. Anyhow, it was one of the more surreal, and I've had some surreal moments once you had two heads, but that wasn't your fault. But when I walked in, I saw you bust those boards and those men trying to hold you back go flying. I thought, that's a real live movie star. It was cool.
Well,
I'll never forget it.
Well, thanks. And I followed you, Danny, and I'm glad to see you here. Quite
thanks.
Frankly.
I'm glad to see me here, too.
Wait a minute. I mean, I couldn't cut it alone?
Anything you can tell us about Bonaducci that we don't know, having known him 30
well,
years?
Well, listen, Bonaducci struggles, and we all struggle. His just happened to be more in the public, and it's great to see him survive, and surviving in any phase is difficult. So.
Shatner, be truthful. You've been telling that same story for years.
Which
about
that,
you and... You and Chuck Norris's dojo, except for the way you tell it, a young Sandy Duncan came in and witnessed you crack all those boards.
Story, you bastard.
Sandy Duncan. I imagine at age 14, you may have lost, but...
I walked in. I mean, because I've always had, you know, an eye on Sandy Duncan. And I went,
Sandy Duncan.
From the Triscuit commercials?
Yes. But really, seriously, man, you just go, there's the real, you know, cause Clark Gable or Cary Grant, two of my favorite movie stars, mm-hmm. you never saw them in real life just bust up a black belt real bad. And I just thought, that's the man.
Well, come to the horse show.
You should be charity.
You compete on the horses. My wife and I are reiners, and we literally compete. I'm trying to get a blue ribbon there.
Are you really?
Absolutely.
Black belt and a blue ribbon.
I know.
Bill Shatner,
everyone. Man, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, we need to keep going with our Music Monday because I want to hear what William Shatner's number one song is.
Yes. When you said that your mother's, you know, my mother and my worst song and the thing, and it's my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
An annoying song is a person's opinion.
Right.
You know, you could have been putting chalk on a blackboard and heard this song and forever. It's the worst song. It's like chocolate.
Yeah, there's songs. Right. There's songs that you. It's like, you know what it's like? It's like when you drink too much of a certain alcohol, you wake up hungover, you throw up the night before, and that alcohol for you is forever ruined.
That's a perfect example. Imagine you thinking of that.
Doesn't, thank you, but it doesn't. Thank you, Shatner.
I ruined more kinds of alcohol like that. I was down to like Windex.
William Shatner, you have a negative association with your annoying song.
That's what I was, exactly
right.
What I was saying.
All right.
So here is a song mm-hmm. that is the most annoying song ever written.
Fair enough. Now, is it because?
No, it's this note right here. Ready? Ready? Papa? It's getting ready. It's getting ready. And now. This is the worst song.
It does get kind of
annoying.
Fluffy right
Not
here.
The worst.
Yes. Now. I'm sure you've been asked this, and maybe you don't have an answer. A lot of guys get typecasted. You've transcended that, obviously, but you've also made a lot of money off Star Trek. If you had it to do over again...
I would do it instantaneously.
Instantaneously. Because...
No, he means he'd do all 13 weeks in like 6 minutes.
Well, because a lot of folks think, you know, maybe Bob Denver thinks, hey, if I hadn't become Gilligan...
He's the professor, swear to God.
Or the professor thinks I hadn't become the professor, I could have been a great thespian and been Brad Pitt, except for the reality is maybe he wouldn't have gotten any work at all.
I'll bet you Brad Pitt wishes he had done Star Trek.
Really?
I wish I'd been the professor.
So you love it.
3 years. Mm-hmm. I did 3 years, wonderful scripts and things like that.
Right.
And then I went on from there, and I'm now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Right.
That's right.
Highlight.
Mm-hmm. Featured. Mm-hmm. And all because of Star Trek.
Well, for that, you get another plug, my friend.
No, to be honest with you, that's why it's being fair and square, because you're kidding, but in real life...
I'm not kidding.
I wouldn't have gotten any of these breaks without the Partridge Family.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm one of those guys, you know, the other guys trying to deny their... Dude, I would not be in this chair right now had I not been Danny Partridge.
That's exactly what I mean. The path leads started.
Mm-hmm. If you can hang. If you can't, you're the professor.
Teresa, would you like to thank your dead evil stepmother for making you feel less than whole in order to drive you into
when
this business?
When you're broken inside, you work hard.
Are you broken inside?
I don't know.
Because your outside is not broken.
Right on, Bill.
Shatner's got a little crazy glue he'd like to use to put you back together.
Really?
He calls it crazy glue.
Instantaneously.
Well, I'm a big fan of yours because I love your show, Boston Legal, and I think you are... so funny on that show.
Thanks.
Especially when am I going to get convicted of something?
Anytime you want.
When are you going to hit Partridge? I mean, Danny.
You know what it is? Here's the idea. I've always had this idea. I should play myself, and I've been lying this whole time. I'm still totally buying and selling drugs and lying about my sobriety, and I get busted.
No, that's not a good thing.
That's a great thing. Because remember when you did the I hate you people, you Trekkie maniacs? It was legendary. So if I went out there and said, oh, man, I'm lying about the sobriety thing, dude. I'm dealing with heroin
really
now. You know,
I'm trying to see how that works.
I'm trying to see how it works. I think it's brilliant.
Tuesdays, ABC, 10 p.m., Boston Legal.
That's what
Your
I wanted to say.
Your character is having a romance, a very sexually charged romance with a little person, Meredith.
Yeah. It's a little romance.
Yes. But that must be fun to play.
She's the sweetest thing and a really good actress, so... It's good to be there.
I asked Shatner about that during the commercial, and he said, Spinner? That's all he knew her by.
Well, that's, you know, everybody has their worst song,
Right.
And their own ways of making love.
Yours is like Lindbergh.
Spinner, right?
This character is not very PC.
Lucky Shatner.
Who's doing...
Hollywood Charity Horse Show that is in Burbank, California this Saturday.
Wells Fargo, remember Hollywood Charity Horse Show. John and Lynn Shane, Marilyn Jeffrey Katzenberg, Factors Deli, Galpin Ford, Priceline, Elite Aviation.
Mm. Well, go out there and support the kids. Again, you get a nice meal, you get to press the flesh with Shatner, you get to
and
see
and many
him.
Other celebrities.
Perhaps he'll give you a tap with his crop.
Wow. And I carry my crop with me. And not only that, a great dinner and Riders in the Sky. And remember where your money goes. Every penny, not one penny is taken off the money you give us.
Like to run it or anything? Nothing.
It's all all underwritten. You give me a dollar, that dollar goes to the children.
Wow, that's amazing. Show.org is where you go this Saturday, Burbank. Thanks, Bill Shatner.
Thank you.
And wonderful to see you again, man.
Thanks. Great to see
you
guys.
I'll see you again. I always do.
We heard Bill Shatner's number one most annoying song. We have our number one songs next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. Right now, Cancer Danny sings the hits.
Few times I've been around that track, so it's not just gonna happen like that, cause I ain't no hollaback girl. I ain't no hollaback girl.
That was Cancer Danny with Gwen Stefani's Hollaback Girl on The Adam Carolla Show.
Well, fresh on the heels of whatever magazine's 22 most annoying songs.
Yeah, it was an internet list of the 22 most annoying songs.
Decided to use that as a theme for Music Monday. We have our most annoying songs. We're down to our final two. We'll take yours, too, at 866-901-ADAM. Most annoying songs. Teresa?
Okay, this song, I don't know why, but it makes my skin crawl. I'm not a prude, but it grosses me out.
My milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
My humps?
No. Milkshake.
Milkshake brings all the boys to the yard.
I know you said milkshake, but doesn't this sound the same as my humps, my humps, my lady humps?
No, this sounds totally different. Sounds like Mozart's concerto in C flat.
Who is this?
Kellis.
My milkshake?
My milkshake? What is my milkshake?
Her ass.
Is it? Because you would think
it's... Breast,
that's a problem.
We shall talk later about using it, and I believe she's shaking it.
Wrong!
No, what does it mean? No.
Well, it's been in Mean Girls, Dodgeball, Norbit. They stick it in every movie.
Yes, they do.
And it's disgusting.
Well, if we don't know what it is, how can we claim it's disgusting?
Is it worse than my humps, my lady humps?
Is it different? Same song.
My lovely little lumps. Check it out. Teach you, but I have to charge my
Well, this is why there's a creative vacuum here, because people aren't doing anything that's some to them at the same time.
I can't believe George Harrison got sued.
Mixmaster Scalp over here is really laying it down.
I like that.
I don't know anything about music other than this is the same song. All right, pardon me for sounding old-fashioned, but I liked it when people could play instruments and did original music and had melodies.
When I was your age, television was called books.
I think anybody that tries to get away with pretending to play their own music should be shot.
So you like my milkshake, or you think it's more annoying than my humps?
I think they're both annoying.
Thank you.
And offensive.
All right. Danny.
Yes.
My phone was ringing for a while there, peeps.
Oh, that's your ringtone, Jack Silver?
Jack Silver's ringtone.
I thought it was Promiscuous by Nelly Furtado.
That's a shock. Danny, what do you got in your number two department?
I think this may be a personal one, but here I hate it. I mean, I hate it. Go ahead, hit it.
A horse with no name.
Now, think of the words on this one. I've been through the desert on a horse with no name. It felt good to get out of the rain.
America. Yeah.
The ocean is a... the ocean is a desert with a...
with its life underground.
Yeah, and the perfect disguise above. What?
Yeah. sounds like my hump stick.
It really does. That's the problem.
That America song sounds just like the hump song. It makes about as much sense.
He was hot.
He was hot.
He was hot. And the air was full of sound.
I know. There's songs that don't make any sense where you go, that song doesn't make any sense. And they're the ones that fool you into thinking they're singing about something more important. But after 30 years of listening to it, you realize, now, they were just rhyming words, right? One's for to give you a no, whatever.
Yeah. Well, I used to think Sue Studio meant something when it came out, and I was 10.
I remember it was a mean Jewish joke. It was a mean Jewish joke along with that song.
Teresa, quit living in last break, would you?
I'm sorry.
Time to move forward. All right, and speaking of moving forward, let's go to one of my least favorite songs from Nelly. O2 went to number one, everybody. Here's the part that annoys me, this part. It's getting so hot, I'm going to take my clothes off. I am
a full lot of honkies in here.
I'm going to take my clothes
off. Spell here, H-E-R-R-E.
Really?
Yeah, hot in here.
It's getting...
It's
the backup singers. I love in this song.
I have to admit, I would leave this on the radio if it came on.
I would until the backup singers came and go, it's getting so hot, I'm going to take my clothes off.
You know, I mean, I'm good with this and anything by 50 Cent. I'm totally good with anything by 50 Cent. This is Nelly, right?
Yes. Wait, we get it. It's getting hot.
I actually have this.
Okay, no redeeming social or lyrical value, but at least it's got a good beat.
And a good message. We're finally getting young urban teens to get it on. Yeah, take your clothes off and start humping.
Urban
fantastic.
Teens. Mike, turn up the heat here. See if we can make humping.
See if we can make this less than urban redhead start humping.
All of a sudden, I'm in a scene from The Accused again.
All right, that's my number two. Now everyone's number one, and I see some of yours on the screen as well. Teresa.
Yes.
Number one most annoying song.
Okay, well, maybe it's not something you would hear on the radio, but I'm from San Francisco, where we have the largest Chinatown. It's the greatest place on earth. The smells, the sights.
Yeah.
But not the sounds, because you sit in a restaurant and you hear Chinese opera.
Oh, yeah.
I hate this stuff. I wanted to try and like it.
Wait for it.
Wait for it, yeah. This is still okay. She's going to start singing soon, right?
It's a song called Hatred as Deep as Ocean.
No. No. Man, Ellie Jane. Oh,
I did it with George once. I was going to mention that with Shadow. I swear to God, that's what she sounds like.
And all the Chinese operas are always about the same thing. His wife sung in the Chinese opera and was so goddamn annoying, he tried to kill her with a Viking helmet.
You know,
oh, God, is this bad.
It's like background music in Chinese restaurants, and you don't notice it.
Here's what I'm trying to explain to people overall. Thank you for helping launch me into this message, which is I want an all-star team. Not quite that long. I want this whole planet to be treated like the Dirty Dozen movie, where we have our expert knife thrower, expert demolition guy, the second story guy. Chinese, you guys make great food, and you're horrible at opera. Germans, not so good in the food department, but you guys do a hell of an opera. Nice. So, we will, and don't get me started on Mexico and dessert.
Everybody loves partner.
Okay? So, let's see. Mexico, you plan the party.
Right.
China, you guys make the grub. Germany, you guys provide the opera, and we're all good. But the trouble comes French.
Good.
The French
Or the Italians can do dessert.
No, the Italians are next door.
Chinese,
surrender.
You guys are horrible at the opera. Knock it off.
I always think they're about the fact that the husband's going to kill the wife because she can't keep the plate spinning on those sticks. I always get them confused.
First off, Danny, not all Chinese do that for a living. It's only about 60%.
Well, if you like that song, it's from an album called The White-Haired Girl, Hatred as Deep as Ocean.
Horrible. Danny, your number one most annoying song.
I think this was a pretty easy choice for me. You ready? I think you'll recognize it right away.
Oh, Crash Test Dummies.
At first, song. I liked this. You know why? It made me think I could sing.
Once I like this song. I can't help it.
Got into an accident and caught it coming.
Teresa, do you not know this song? What is that look you get on your face every time a popular song comes on?
I don't know this one.
You don't know the
question. I think when the chorus comes, I'll know it.
What's number four in 1994?
I don't know cool music.
Danny's going to hum along with this.
Yeah, you know it. And I'm going to do my own backups.
This song never gets played anymore. That's why you don't hear it, Teresa.
It's in one line.
Tom Waits thinks he sounds hoarse.
William Shatner thinks he sounds hoarse.
Teresa, not ringing a bell?
No, I've never heard this song.
Wow. The back.
Does the Jamesons just wash everything out of your brain every night?
Just the last 7 to 9 years.
Dude, I've been going to rehab since I was 11. I remember this song.
I don't have cool taste in music.
This is a cool taste. This song sucks ass.
It does suck, and I like it. I can't help it. Call me crazy. Come on, T.
I don't know it. I know tube and throat singing and Chinese opera.
That's what this is.
Balkan folk music.
Jack's note on more Chinese opera?
He specifically said if you could include more Chinese opera.
No, he said current, and that came out last week.
You told me to stick to my guns, Adam.
I
turned the guns on myself.
I didn't mean to play Russian roulette or Chinese roulette.
Do we get to the chorus yet, or is that it? Yeah. All right, so, Teresa, if you don't recognize the first 8.5 minutes of the song, you're not going to recognize the last 14, right?
You said that it was from when the cousin smashed his soul.
This song's awful. I hate it. No, make it stop. Make it stop. What about our listeners? They've got some good ideas.
All right, all right, all right. Good choice.
Ugh. Bring back the Chinese opera.
We'll play some of your selections. But first, my number one song, not because it's so annoying in and of itself, although it is.
It should be, yeah.
But because it made it okay for this instrument to somehow replace its brother, the much more interesting instrument. It's gonna hit ya. Now, here's the problem with this music. It has become ubiquitous. Somehow it's okay to hear this pumped into every elevator, every dentist office, every waiting room, every time you lay down to get a massage. This is what you hear. Every time there's a place, it's trying to cool you off a little bit and you're waiting around. This is what you hear. This is technically a saxophone, although it looks to me like an oboe that I lent Bill the Gay Board Op for the weekend, and this is what he turned it into. That's right. That sounds exactly like a lady hop.
Every song sounds like
this. It is a horrible, squeaky sax. They took the world's coolest, smokiest instrument and turned it into a gay conductor's wand.
Gave it to the guy from Simply Red.
Right, who can do a circular form of breathing that means he never has to pull this thing out of his mouth and take a breath.
Make him popular in prison.
Would be a nice rest for my ears. And then somehow people decided this was the most relaxing music on the planet, and we played it over and over again, and now we've all been pussified.
I've gotten a lot of sex through this song.
You have?
Yeah. This song I would dance. This song I would walk across. Because, like, I'm, the idea of being rejected would kill me. I'd be so embarrassed doing that walk of shame back. All your friends see you, go to ask her, and she shakes her head no, points that she's with her friends, and you have to do the walk of shame. So I've never asked a girl to dance. But to that song, I would get up across the room, and I wouldn't even ask.
I've heard Danny's rap while this song is playing,
no,
by the way.
You start, and if they're hip to it, you pull them a little tighter. If they're hip to that, you lower your hand to just, like, the top of the crack of their butt.
Right.
Aren't, that,
aren't you the guy from the Partridge Family?
Yeah, baby. And this guy's in my room.
She's your shorter in public.
Shorter in public. When do you see a big guy in private? Or when do you see how big my privates are?
You're getting divorced.
What artist is this?
This?
Did you just say?
Kenny G, baby.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
All right, you're going to have to get a PET scan there, baby doc.
I listen to NPR.
All right, smarty pants.
Because they play such dulcet tones.
Let's play a couple of your contributions. We have Eric from San Jose. Eric?
Ace Man.
What do you got for us? Most annoying song.
Okay, well, this guitar player looked like he should be playing more tennis than he was guitar. And if I hear it again, I'm going to shoot myself.
All right. Tennis because of the headband he was wearing?
It's got to be McEnroe.
I know this song.
Mark Knopfler you're speaking of.
Yep.
Dire Straits, although I was yelling at this song during a Mazda commercial when they wanted their MPG.
I want my...
Which is the worst commercial ever. I want my MPG. And I was getting mad at the police and then realized, oh no, Dire Straits. Now this is the best of all worlds, which is you make a whole bunch of money selling your song to Mazda and everyone blames
Sting.
Sting. Yeah, it's an annoying song.
Decent opening lick, and then it gets awful.
But I also didn't like the video with the square jaw people. There's nothing about this killed me.
Yeah, I agree.
And also preachy, and I think that's what makes it annoying.
Right. Andrew?
Yes?
How say you, my friend, from Seattle, Washington?
How's everybody doing? This is taking off or quite a bit to chew on here. I might offend some people, but the Beatles, Yellow Submarine.
I listened to that once, dude. You're cool.
Yeah, it is a horrible song.
It's horrible. We're so popular, let's let Ringo sing.
And
we're more popular than Jesus, so Ringo can sing.
A cartoon... The movie. The cartoon movie.
Yeah.
I saw it when I was 7. I felt high and scared.
I saw it when I was 13. And I was
you were high?
Were you freaking out?
No, but I couldn't tell what was like real and what wasn't real. Because I took a bunch of...
It's a weird, drugged out, reeky
got, like, the 60s,
70s mess.
They got the blue meanies who are actually on the screen, right? And that's cool and I'm fine. But when the blue meanie's in the chair next to you, you got to go, okay, the acid's kicking in.
Well,
yeah,
it
freaked me out. All right, let's talk to Sean from Sacramento. Sean,
morning, guys.
Morning, hey. Sean. Hey, what do you got?
Love the show. My I'll get right to it. My least favorite, or most annoying song is "Werewolves of London" by Warren Zevon.
Can you do a dead guy cancer?
Yeah, Warren Zevon. Did he die yet, or did he just have horrible cancer?
I sure hope so.
I think he passed away shortly
after.
That's not nice, Sean. I think he died after going on Letterman.
Oh, there's a bunch of people I want to die of cancer, so I apologize. You can want this guy to die of cancer.
Yeah. I don't know. I agree. I like a couple of Warren Zevon songs, and I think Warren Zevon's interesting, and I like the piano line in this. But all right, I'll give it to you, Sean.
That's fair.
Thanks, guys.
All right.
She knows this one.
I know this
one. All right. We need to take a break, but an honorable mention, we got the Baja Men who let the dogs out. We heard that one. We Are Family by Sister Sledge.
Who's nominating these?
Says Paul and Mike.
Hey, Paul.
Let's see. Poison Every Rose Has Its Thorn.
Yeah, song sucks butt.
Really? I thought that would have been on heavy rotation on the Bonaducci iPod.
It was the year I got into radio, and not one song in that chorus rhymes.
Mm.
Every rose has its thorn. Every night has its dorn. Every cowboy has a sad swing. Yeah. None of rhymes. A piece of crap.
Also, one that one that sucks that gets played in a lot of movies and gets played a lot, and it's like an old blues song, so everyone gives it a nod and looks the other way, but Robert from Long Beach says Mustang Sally.
Oh, I love Mustang.
Does anyone really like that song?
Again, another song that makes me think I could sing a song if I had to.
Maybe
Mustang
that's what...
Mustang Sally!
Hold on. Just nope. We need to take a break. Some guy who can sing, though, Jamie Kennedy.
Right on.
He can rap, he can sing. He's multi-talented. Jamie Kennedy in studio next.
The Adam Carolla Show. Call 866-901-ADAM.
You have really interesting waitress service here. There, a woman took my order at this diner, and then when she was done...
They're called servers.
Wow, a woman who's proud to be a waitress. That's, is that what they call them at TGI Fridays? Come on! Bet your chicken fingers are off the hook.
Jamie Kennedy with Adam Carolla, Teresa Strasser, and Danny Bonaducci on The Adam Carolla Show.
Yeah, there's a lot of people that try to correct people through nomenclature. It's like, we're not waitresses, we're servers. First off, server sounds more degrading. You're my servant, my server, then waitress. And I've had that. No, I was not a, I'm not a rape victim. I'm a rape survivor.
How dare it's, you?
I always feel bad arguing with these poor people. It's no. Like, shut up.
A waitress brings you your food. A server peels your grapes and then feeds them to
That's
you.
That's right. And by the way, Brian, you're way behind on the last bunch I dropped off. Jamie Kennedy in studio. Now.
In the hizzy.
Kicking It Old School is the name of his movie, which is out this Friday. That, I guess, is from The Heckler?
No, that's...
Or Heckler.
No, kick... Oh, that... Oh, the clip we just heard?
Yes.
That clip... No, that was just from my stand-up special.
I can tell. That was just straight up.
That was just straight
up. But what I mean, but you did a documentary, right?
Did a documentary.
On heckling?
On heckling,
so
yes.
I thought that... Yeah. Exchange may have been from that documentary.
That's actually much tamer than the ones that are in there.
Oh, really?
And that was that event happened to start spurning the movie idea.
Ah. So which one do you want to talk about? We'll talk about Kicking It Old School. We'll talk about Heckler.
I could talk about both, but I'd love to say Kicking It Old School, April 27th, this Friday.
I'd like to ask then, did you expect the character? Is that the Malibu most wanted kind of character?
No, it's, I wanted to do another movie in the world of hip hop, and then I thought, I was young, so I did breakdancing. But my character is like me, except he's just stuck in the 80s.
Did you expect your characters to bust, some of them to bust out way more than others, like some characters that didn't work out so well and some that people couldn't live without?
Yeah, some
of
them.
The pedophile stenographer I thought would never take off, and I guess
it did okay.
It did okay.
Yeah, nice pack line that came out of it. We had a leg warmer thing that happened with it. But no, you know, it mixes people. I like this movie now because people are starting to say it to me at the airports. You know, instead of saying, you know, yo, Jimmy, man, why'd you get killed in Scream 2? And it's like that was 12 years ago. But yeah,
don't complain to me, man.
Okay.
Yeah. This, I like that song, I Think I Love You, 40 years ago, bitch.
Lip sync to it 40 years ago. Also, this movie co-stars one of my favorites, Maria Menounos.
Bobby!
Oh, yes.
She is hot.
The Greek goddess.
Yeah, she's the one who's on... Is she on Entertainment Tonight?
Access Hollywood.
Or Access Hollywood.
And the Today Show.
Did you guys have a showmance?
I love that term, but no, we did not.
She's single?
She keeps her private life private.
Did she speak of me?
She brought you up twice. Uh-huh. And it was when she was in her bra.
Oh.
And it was just weird. She was changing the wardrobe. She's like, Carolla, Carolla. And then, like, she was trying on other clothes, and she's like, Adam, Carolla. Mm-hmm. And then, I don't know, I left because I got kicked out.
Uh-huh. So you're intimidated.
What do you think is worth? Share my two only Hollywood kisses. One was in a movie called Hots that almost no one saw, and I make out with an
I got
actual...
a DVD, brother.
I know you do. Of course you were.
By the way, Hots acronym for Hold On To Sex.
Yeah.
Who did you kiss?
We all thought it meant help out the SEALs. And so I go in to get into bed with this hot chick and start making out with her.
It was a
and
SEAL.
And more than making out with her, I actually start going, oh, yeah, baby, that feels great. And they pull on the blankets and it's a SEAL.
Bonaducci, hold on. That was your best work, Hots,
no way.
By the way.
Thank you. My other screen kiss is with Jodie Foster.
Who was the first one? The SEAL?
It was a SEAL.
No. Jodie was the first one. And the SEAL was the second. Now, Jodie's a brilliant actress, but allegedly I might have turned her.
Freaky Friday or post Freaky Friday?
Pre, that she was 7.
Wow.
So it's like
I was 40.
So as far as the lesbian goes, you can be born a lesbian, or your stepdad could make you into one in the basement, or you could make out with Bonaducci on the set. Either way, you're going lesbian.
You mean the seal's a lesbian?
Well, you weren't listening.
What do you think they eat?
I was listening. I'm not doing what you...
If any of you want to see a nice slice of the early 80s, you go get hot.
Well, we talked about Kicking It Old School, which is your feature that's opening, but you've got a documentary about being heckled.
Yes.
Do you get heckled a lot?
I was going out and I was doing the road for a few months to get ready for a special I did for Comedy Central. And during the process, I got heckled. Every comedian gets heckled. And then the guy who was with me was filming it and said, they're just getting some good heckles. And I said, this is interesting. So then I would, you know, mix it up with the crowd more and get more heckled. Then I started talking to other comedians and they got heckled. Then I did their stories. And then I talked to sports stars. Then I talked to politicians.
Interesting, yeah.
And so it became a thing. And so, like, the world is a heckling bonanza now.
It is even in, like, the House of Commons when you go to see the British, like, Parliament and stuff. And guys get up there and they start making a speech. And everyone's like, oh, bully, bully.
Good day, sir.
Everyone starts yelling at guys who are wearing three-piece suits and powdered wigs and stuff. So it goes on everywhere. And I couldn't imagine. Yeah, it would suck being on stage. It would blow standing out in right field.
Yes.
With a long fly ball coming your way and people screaming. I played actually in some all-star celebrity whatever for All-Star Weekend a couple of years ago in Chicago, and there were 40,000 people in this stadium, and I was playing left field, and Jim McMahon, a local Chicago legend, obviously, hit a long, towering fly ball that was starting to drift into foul territory, and it was at night, and I was standing in left field, and as soon as the ball came off the bat, I started drifting toward it, except for I had 8,000 people sitting in this one section going, don't drop it, Carolla! Don't drop it, Carolla! And I thought, if this ball hits me in the head and then lands on the ground, these people are going to be laughing their asses off. I could hear every single one of them as I was slowly drifting over into the night air for this towering fly ball. I caught it, thankfully, but I couldn't imagine playing every day with that. You know, you're Daryl Strawberry and you're just standing out in right field. It's Daryl.
I threw out the first pitch at a Rockies game. Is that the Denver or the Coliseum? And I bounced it in. They said you can throw it over his head. You can do whatever you want, but whatever you don't let that ball hit the ground before it hits the pitcher.
So you realize,
and it made like 20 feet.
You realize you're going to take this these lemons known as heckling and turn them into lemonade via documentary on it.
Yes, and then it goes into a much deeper thing, or not deeper, but it goes into another thing where it starts going into criticism and starts going into blogging. And really, the world is the most critical it's ever been. I don't know if it's the most critical it's ever been, but it's just the most, you can see all the criticism now.
Yeah, it's ask Alec Baldwin how that one works.
Yeah,
Or Michael Richards, who he had a heckler, and then it was on YouTube, and then it was everywhere.
Yeah,
and he didn't know how to deal with the heckler.
Well, it's just, heckling's been going on since the dawn of time.
It's
but now it's just like
profession.
Yeah, it's
looking and then saying that wasn't that good.
But then but now with the phone and the YouTube, you catch somebody in a mad moment, you're done. Like Alec Baldwin, I mean that. I listened to that message. Was that bad?
No. I mean,
and they're just making it so bad.
No, and I know we all have to pretend like we're not capable of it or it's never happened before because people think we're bad parents. Mm-hmm. If we listen to it and go, hey, catch me on the right time of the day with just enough of the right elements going on in life, a bad argument with the wife or ex, you know, bad day on the set or at the job.
Absolutely.
Mixed with this is the fifth time this has happened in 5 days.
And that's when I start putting cigarettes out on my kid and people think, you know.
Well, she was being a rude little pig.
The little pig that she is. You know, a little pig.
I'm gonna get loaded.
Well, so not only do we have this, and you'll, by the way, be at the Tribeca Film Festival with me, right?
I will be there with you. I will be sitting in the audience watching The Hammer.
And I will be watching The Heckler yelling
this. Why didn't you come, Danny?
Now, I wish I could go. I got to do a charity event in Vegas.
Would it be ironic if in the middle of the heckler I stood up and yelled, this documentary sucks?
It'd be funny.
It'd actually be perfect.
That would be really good.
Can we get it on YouTube?
Oh, yes.
And then kicking it old school, which is you've come out of a coma.
Yes.
You are trapped back in 1986. And you were doing a little break dancing because it was all the wave.
All the rage back then. I hit my head, went into a coma.
Mm-hmm. Can you break dance?
I can worm. That's my thing. And then I come back in 2006, and, I'm still in the 80s. The movie I like to describe is a mix between Big and Electric Boogaloo. It's Boogaloo.
Finally, what I have to say.
Who loves Boogaloo Shrimp?
We need to make more breakdancing comedies.
And Maria Menounos, she falls in love with you?
Well, only in the movie.
Yeah. Oh, that's your love interest. What about Vivica Fox? Who does she play?
She plays the woman, Miguel Nunez's girlfriend, and she's really funny, and she beats him up in the movie a lot.
She is a very hot woman.
She is.
Vivica Fox.
She is.
She's got the A as the middle name, and A Fox is very apt for Vivica Fox. All right, well, Jamie, Kicking It Old School is this Friday.
Yes.
April 27th. As a matter of fact, I feel like if you went out and saw The Condemned with Stone Cold Steve Austin, and then you went and saw Kicking It Old School, you will officially see every movie that weekend because they will all fall in between those two.
Fair enough.
Can you see Kicking It first?
See Kicking It.
There's a continuum of education, and those are on either side of the spectrum.
Plus, Jim, I want you to do me a favor. If Adam does not get up and yell this documentary sucks in the middle of the show, I want you to come back and give me a call so
can
I can
fly
the person.
You in to do it?
Absolutely. No, I just want to know so I can call him on it.
Jamie.
Big-ass brave bastard.
I think you just should just sit in the last row and yell, boring.
Daryl. Jamie Kennedy, Kicking Old School, and Heckler, if you're going to be anywhere near New York City this weekend. Great to see you again, Jamie.
Thanks, you guys.
Tee the news.
Yes. Well, Sanjaya is gone, but now who will be the worst on Vote for the Worst? I will tell you.
We'll do that next on The Adam Carolla Show.
Welcome back to The Adam Carolla Show. And now, Scores presents Strip Club Etiquette with the Deaf Frat Guy. Today's topic, foreign money.
Unless you made a run down to Tijuana to get some cheap Mexican trim, it is considered rude to tip with anything other than American money.
That was Strip Club Etiquette, brought to you by Scores and the Deaf Frat Guy. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Look at that, Pete. T?
Yeah.
You ready to do the news?
Sure am.
All right.
Teresa Strasser, the number one Jewish news reporter, on this station right now.
Virginia Tech students return to class today. Virginia's largest university has asked news crews to go home, let the school return to normal.
Yeah, that always works.
Yeah, so far it has not worked. There are media from everywhere.
I keep waiting for one with the balls to say they asked us to go home live from the campus of Virginia Tech.
Yeah, exactly.
Because it is news, and everywhere I've heard, except for ironically, I've saw 5 hours of CNN this morning. They didn't mention that part of the story as they reported from the campus.
It would be weird seeing Stone Phillips on the lawn of the campus saying, students have asked me to leave. I'm here. Also, Tech students can elect to go home and take a semester grade for work that they've turned in so far if they don't feel ready to return to campus. So the university is allowing them to just take the grade they have and not come back.
Well, you try to figure out which group I would fall into. I would never come back, and I would want my degree, and I would milk this thing for all it's worth. It's sad. I'm just telling you the truth about me.
When I first went to college, they told me that if your dorm mate commits suicide, you get an automatic 4.0. And
yes.
I just sat up nights thinking how to kill this guy and make it look like a suicide.
He hung him and pulled his pants down. Very uncomfortable for the family.
No, that was how you got into a band. Not how you got a 4.0.
Right. Oh, yeah.
Okay, well, as everyone in the world now knows, Sanjaya is no longer on American Idol. And so Vote for the Worst, that website that was encouraging everyone to vote for Sanjaya, they had to pick a new worst.
Mm.
And they picked Phil Stacey, the bald-headed singer that looks disturbingly waxy.
Yeah, if they couldn't get enough momentum to keep Sanjaya on, then I don't think this is really going to work because he's not great, but he's no Sanjaya.
Yes. And if they couldn't keep Sanjaya on any longer, then maybe they aren't as credible. Now, Sanjaya He was fighting to stay relevant, so he went on the Ellen show.
Stay relevant?
Yes.
You know what it's like. You're 17.
Right.
Well, I was kidding, but Bonaducci, yeah. You know what
17.
It's like. You're 17.
I've been washed up for 3 years at 17.
Trying to stay relevant.
Well, he's going to be on Ellen's show today, and we have a preview of that interview. She asked him what it was like to be the recipient of so much attention.
I just try to take everything and turn it into a positive if I can, and I try to learn from everything that I can, and mm-hmm. if I don't, then, I mean, there's some very creative haters out there.
Yes.
They make up some really, really good stuff about me.
Yeah, like so, what?
I can't think of anything off the top of my head, but...
But it didn't get, did it get to you?
No, because, okay. I mean, if you let it get to you, then you'll fail, and you'll... Yeah. You'll go
business.
Crazy. It is.
Yeah.
Dude, are you gay?
Hopefully he'll find other venues in which to be mediocre.
It's always a great guest when someone brings up something and then you go, oh, give us an example. And they go, no, I got nothing. I love cars. I'm a car man. Man, nobody knows cars like me, huh?
What kind of car do you, what's your favorite?
Nah, don't know.
Oh. Well, I mean, between like Italian or Japanese.
Just.
What is it about cars you like?
Move forward.
Okay.
I don't know what you're talking about.
On The Sopranos last night, and spoiler alert if you have TiVo, but I'll try not to give too much of the plot away. I'll just give you a flavor of the episode. Tony and Polly have a very strained relationship, as it seems Polly can't keep his mouth shut. He's doing a lot of talking. He's talking to strangers, and it seems that Tony's concerned that you can't trust Polly anymore. He's a loose cannon. And then... they go on a boat, which I don't know as much as you guys do about mafia-related movies and television shows, but it seems like you do better on land.
The thing about the ocean is it is just one giant toilet.
Yep.
You get to dump whatever you want into it, and there's a good chance no one will ever find
it. There's a very good chance that nobody will find
it.
And if they do find it, because I planned the murder of my wife once, just as a bit on the air, 10, 15 years ago. I don't remember when it was. But I tried to plan the perfect murder. It was a bit. We had seen a show on TV, and we thought, who could beat that? And I came up with, because I sail, and there's a thing called an accidental jibe. And a boom full of wind and sail will come from one side of the boat and do a 180-degree angle swing. And if it hits you, it'll kill you.
Right.
So I thought I would freshly paint the boom, and then I would freshly paint an aluminum bat in the same paint. Uh-huh. And I'd go, honey, what's that? And as soon as she looked, I'd bash her in the back of the head and throw her over. Now, if she didn't die, I'd jump in after her and try and save her, really drowning her. But everybody gets clawed when you're trying to rescue somebody. Mm. So that's what I would explain. The only problem is you now have to get rid of the aluminum bat for sure. But that was my plan for the perfect murder.
That's pretty smart. I wish you would use your powers for good.
That bitch won't sail with me.
Because that is very clever.
Yeah,
now,
you.
On this boat, Tony asked Polly if he has Tourette's.
No offense, but you ever had yourself checked for Tourette's? What? Tourette's syndrome. Seriously. Hey. You gotta take yourself. I don't know. It's like some people grind their teeth when I'm nervous, tense or something.
Yeah, very tension-filled
scene. It's not looking good for Polly. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
Doing a lot of talking.
Now, meanwhile, Junior was in the mental hospital as he seems to have some kind of dementia. And I thought one of the best scenes is when he forms an unlikely alliance with the kid from MIT who's also ended up in the nut house. And the kid and he bond.
Hold on. Teresa, but it's my I have a family. A lot of my family members work with these people, as you so-call, in the nut house.
Yes.
We like to refer to it as the loony bin.
Sorry.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Thank
they were
down. My whole family worked with trouble.
They were in. Many of my relatives have been in all of the loony bins of Greater Los Angeles.
I mean, just nut houses.
They were in the. They were in the loony bin. I'm sorry. Okay. That was insensitive.
That was insensitive.
So Junior makes a friend in the loony bin, and that friend helps him to dictate a letter to Dick Cheney.
And hope to hear from you soon. Sincerely, no, respectfully, Corrado Soprano. Read it back.
Dear Vice President Cheney, as a powerful man all too familiar with accidental gunplay, I am writing in the hope that you will intervene in my case. Like yourself, I was involved in an unfortunate incident when a gun I was handling misfired.
Good stuff.
That was good stuff. And in closing, at the box office, Disturbia number one, Fracture, Blades of Glory, Vacancy, and Meet the Robinsons round out the top five. I'm Teresa Strasser, and that's the news.
Teresa Strasser with the real news. QCNN.
Well, speaking of real, prisoner David. Actual convict in for, well, at least close to life. We'll be calling from prison. He'll give us an update next on the Adam Carolla Show.
All this month on the Adam Carolla Show, your chance to win $10,000.
It's 10 grand of my money.
Outbook August in April.
Mike August books our talent.
The bar is pretty low.
You book a celebrity on the Adam Carolla Show.
We factor in level of celebrity.
Then you factor in level of performance.
Right. Anyone can win.
$10,000.
Even Mike August.
Mike August, you have something to prove.
What do I have to prove?
Well, you lost last time.
Outbook August in April.
It's your job, man!
On the Adam Carolla Show.
Well, it looks like Shatner's the leader in the clubhouse this week, but it's only Monday, kiddies. All righty. A personal favorite of mine for many, many, many months, maybe even a year now, Prisoner David.
Adam.
Prisoner David. Good to speak to you.
Yeah.
Hey, Adam. I hear you were in,
David, sorry.
You were in lockdown for a number of weeks.
Yeah, another 3 weeks lockdown. This time, the guy had chicken pox.
Mm-hmm.
Check this out. It was so bad, they didn't know what it was. It was like some kind of disease control came in and they quarantined us.
Uh-huh.
It was some kind of smallpox or something.
Mm-hmm.
So they're afraid all of us are going to catch the same thing, so they just quarantined the whole prison. A lot of people didn't even come to work.
I guess, oh, I mean, a lot of guards didn't come to work, thus you guys needed to be locked down so they didn't have to look after you.
Exactly.
Uh-huh. Now, what is lockdown? Because you're frequently in lockdown, aren't you?
All the time, it seems like, lately,
It's usually because of gang warfare, right?
Yeah, it's usually because of violence. But, gang on gang or prisoner on prisoner. But lately, there's been a lot of weird lockdowns, like short of staff or, you know, a lot of people don't come to work.
I got to say, if I got hold of the guy who got me in lockdown for 3 weeks because he didn't get his vaccination when he was 4 months old, I would give him one of those beatings where he put the soap in the pillowcase and hold him down to his cot and beat the bejesus out of him. I mean, you want to talk about having 2,000 guys pissed off. You're locked down because you got the measles or chicken pox or whatever the hell you got. And what does lockdown mean for you as far as your schedule?
Well, we're basically stuck in the cell for 24 hours a day.
I thought you had now a yard.
Yeah, there's no yard. There's no school.
No yard?
Yeah, no phones, nothing.
No. Not a single luxury.
Nothing. You're stuck in the cell.
You went Gilligan's Island. I went Roger Miller.
King of the Road.
Yeah.
Trailer. Another song you haven't heard of. Sailor Ray.
I've heard of that one. Prisoner David, how's your cellie? How are you getting along?
Oh gosh. I mean, you get good cellies, you get bad cellies. Right now, I've got a really good cellie because he's quiet, but he snores loud. I mean, I got to put my headphones on. I sleep with free FM on basically every night. I mean, I got to have headphones on.
John and Jeff put you to sleep. I don't know why.
So, now, as far as the actual cell is what size?
Oh, it's tiny, like 6x9.
6x9. So when you guys get into lockdown, that's you and your cellmate.
Yes.
For 24 hours a day.
Yes. I mean, imagine body odor, everything.
Now, normally you can sort of time your number twos because he'll hit the yard while you hit the pot or vice versa. This has got to be brutal.
Yes. I mean, you got to try to put a sheet up or something just to get a little privacy.
Plus, they've been eating prison food.
It's a decent point. I mean, S on the single on a shingle.
Yep.
As the word S in, on the way in. Sorry for laughing at your predicament. But you know, you're so jovial for a guy who's not going to breathe free air for another 15 years.
I try to be, man. I try to do anything to keep productive in here. You know, all I'm doing is pretty much hanging on the yard every day.
But David, for those who don't know his backstory, was, you worked in radio for a while, right?
Yes.
Jack Silver says you got a job waiting for you.
De un interno de una
we got the Spanish version.
I had to get a Puerto Rican phone today. There's no phones
there. Oh, you're not on the white phone like you usually are?
No.
The white courtesy telephone?
See, after lockdown, everybody wants to use a phone, so it's like there's no phones available.
Now, why are the phones racially segregated?
Please try your call again later.
That's the white phone.
That's the white phone.
Don't make me start with the black phone. Listen, y'all.
But prisoner, they keep the phone.
And where are the white women at?
Well, basically, like you said, you know, we're just trying to use the phone. I mean, anything that comes open, you know, at this point, this is the only phone that was open today.
Are you going to get in trouble?
No. I got permission. You got to go get permission for these guys. As far as the racial segregation, that's a really big thing here in California. You know, you have to basically sell up with guys your race, but they're trying to break that now. They're trying to integrate us, actually.
Yeah, but the Mexican mafia won't have it.
Not much traffic over at the Jewish phone, by the way.
Is there a Jewish phone?
It's only collect all
you should. You should hang up the phone, and your hair should grow in the ground like an onion.
Who screens these calls?
That is very close to a real Yiddish thing. Yes,
your teeth should fall out, and in its place, hair should grow.
Yeah. You should own a hotel and be caught dead in every room.
That's
my favorite one.
Wow.
Jews know how to insult.
We could curse.
Adam, can I win this $10,000? I was thinking about booking a celebrity.
Who do you got?
You got Manson or something. You're in.
I thought about Manson, but I thought about John Mark Carr.
Oh, well,
you got John Mark Carr?
Yeah.
Is he in the joint?
No,
but I'm saying he's got celebrity status as being a prisoner or jail. He was in jail.
Yeah, but can you get him?
That's possible.
That's possible. There's a Puerto Rican phone. It's still calling.
Is there a Puerto Rican hotline that you can pick up?
If he outbooked Mike August from inside prison, that would be something.
See, I've got a direct line to Charles Manson, but the problem, this guy's crazy. I mean, he might want some money. You might try to say, well, give me half and I'll go on.
Wait a minute. Are you in the same joint with Charlie?
No. I've got
access.
That's
a Puerto Rican phone ringing? You have access to Manson?
Yes.
How?
I do a lot of websites. That's what I kind of do in my spare time. And he's got a website out there, so I got access to him.
Chuck has a website?
Yes. Charlie Manson has a website.
Hold on. Is that cool with everybody?
Does he have a MySpace page?
Hobbies, killing.
Favorite movie, Helter Skelter. Favorite book.
Wow. All right, so Prisoner David, you were originally put in for conspiracy to commit murder.
Yes.
But you never actually killed anyone.
Nobody got killed. Imagine, I worked in the profession with just words, and words actually got me in here.
It's like getting herpes from masturbating.
Which, by the way, he can't do because he's under lockdown.
Imagine that. I actually have to wait till my cellie falls asleep, and I just got to pull out a sock.
You're all class. Yeah. By the way, when you're out in 15 years, Teresa will be single.
Oh.
And crying.
Easy pickings, buddy.
I wish I could get her to come up here and visit me. That'd be great.
I can relate to you because I've been in an emotional prison.
Well, that's true, right.
We can bond.
So, Prisoner David, what prison are you in again?
I'm up here in Northern California. Mm-hmm. I can't give the name of it, but I'm up here.
Oh, I know where he is. Llamada grabada de un interno de una
correccional en California. All right. Yeah. Well, that seems like a good note to go out on.
Enough is enough!
All right, Prisoner David, call us next week if you're not, in fact, in lockdown.
Definitely.
And this time, just for fun, pick up the Chinese phone or the Japanese phone. I want to hear all the different dialects and all different accents, all right?
Okay, I'll do it. I'll see what I can do, man.
Please.
What happens if you pick up the Mexican phone?
It's basically the same thing, I think. I think it's the same.
Well, he gets a shiv in him is
I'm
what
just
happens.
I
might be a homeboy, though.
The Mexican mafia, I've heard, just runs the joint. Is that true? Does the Mexican mafia just run the place?
They got a pretty good stronghold on the joint, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, keep safe in there, Prisoner David, and thank you.
Thank you.
All right.
Oh, nice talking to you guys.
Good times.
See you, buddy.
Yeah, I was going to make a bad joke about the Mexicans having their family in the joint anyway. Not, it's more of an intercom than it is a phone. But that would be in poor taste, and that's why I didn't do it.
That's why.
I thought about
man.
It.
Thank
I
you.
Thought
smart
about
man.
It. Yes, we'll take a quick break. We'll be back to wrap up after this. Well, where did the time go? I want to thank Frank Vincent. I'm not even going to tell you to watch The Sopranos. You ain't in by now. You ain't never getting in. Bill Shatner, Hollywood Charity Horse Show, Saturday, L.A. Equestrian Center. Jamie Kennedy kicking an old school out this Friday. Teresa Strasser, TV Water Cooler.
Yeah.
Tonight, 8 p.m. on the TV Guide channel. And, of course, Stone Cold Steve Austin. The Condemned out this Friday.
Speaking thereof, our little old Adam Carolla right here, he sends two people. They're going to Alcatraz. Damn it, Alcatraz Island. They're going to compete for $2,500 and, of course, their freedom. Go to AdamCarolla.com right now and check out all the contestants and vote for who you think can make it through the night. Then check back Friday morning and all the video coverage and their overnight competition on AdamCarolla.com. The Condemned in theaters this Friday, starring Steve Austin.
Last time we did this, six people died. So check it out, people. I said we shouldn't do it again, but Angie said, hell yeah. So until next time, it's Adam Carolla saying mahalo.
Adam, you're funny, but you're funny in the Carolla way.